go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We're off and running for this first Friday on the front porch of the month of November 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. And that, of course, as we always mention, is where you go if you'd like to click on chat room, pick out a screen name and a password, and become part of the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. If you do jump in there, you will immediately be met by early arrivers, Anatole and Warrior Witch, along with, of course, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master on what appears to have been another decent day in Northern California, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave, alongside his sidekick and partner in moderating, pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. It's ready, it's waiting, and you're the only part of it that's missing. Yes. So, like I said, it's Friday on the front porch. Standard disclaimers apply. Here in about, 57 minutes or so, we will fire up the extraordinary, well, we will gather around. Wouldn't want to burn down the extraordinary, ordinary round table. We can't afford a new one. But we will gather around the extraordinary, ordinary round table that sits in the old hollow tree that we rent from the Keebler Elves and see what's on people's minds this evening. The week's end free-for-all is always a blast. I always look forward to it, and it's always interesting to see where people are going to take the conversation. Mm-hmm. If you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch before, then by Jove, what better time than this evening? Just fire up Skype and send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunk, Sparky Dunk, all one word, and he'll show you the breadcrumb trail that leads to the old hollow tree that we rent from the Keebler Elves and where we keep our extraordinary, ordinary round table. And now, with the year waning and darkness coming sooner, he'll be able to fire up the Bob signal as well and shine it off the clouds to help guide the way through the gathering gloom. Right. Mm-hmm. And I guess it gets, the gloom gathers even more this weekend as we switch back to standard time from daylight savings time. I know. But yeah, it means darker earlier this time of the, right. We're not going to get into the philosophy between, no. Just, so that's all ahead here in about an hour or so. We, of course, have thanks to send out. Thank you very kindly to Elizabeth, one of our subscribers and a partial sponsor of the program. Thank you very kindly to our buddy Paul. Thank you very much indeed to Clarence, formerly of Philly, now of South Carolina, Stan. Thank you to Reggie down on the Arizona-Mexico border. Thank you, Reggie. Thank you very kindly to Dave. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks to Rocco, and thanks very kindly to Angel. Thank you all very much for being partial sponsors of the program. And, well, our subscribers take care of about a quarter of the fundraising needs of the Horn over the course of any given month. And when everything works out just right, that means that we're able to engage in fundraising free radio during the last week of every month. If you would like to be, and it's a new thing, just a new idea that I'm tossing out there. If we could get a brand new subscriber every evening, just one, by this time next year, I could proudly say that we will never have to mention fundraising again. So, worth thinking about. Just one new subscriber at $10 a month. Yeah, it works out to something like, you know, a 20th or so, maybe a 30th of the cup of a cup of corporate coffee at a corporate coffee joint. And that's just, or, you know, about a little less, more something, fractions of a fifth of a burger from the dollar menu per hour of programming. Yeah, about a half of the cost. An entire program runs about a half of the cost of a burger from the dollar menu over at McClown's. Yeah. And so hopefully it's doable. Yes, thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa. Friday on the front, pork, gently smoking on both acorns, Senor Bob. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you very kindly. Front pork. See what he did there? Yeah, right. Yeah. Clever. Just clever. Now, as far as fundraising goes, we're back at the beginning of a month. Last night we had Shirley's Memorial Challenge on the table, but I got so enwrapped in my conversation with my dear friend Dan Fisher that we really didn't make much mention of it, and we raised 60 of it, so I'm carrying it over to this evening. Hopefully, we can finish Shirley's challenge this evening. There's 140 to go on that, and the ordinary $200. So we've got a total fundraising goal this evening of $340. 10 at 34, 34 at 10. You know, 2 at 170, right? Yeah, 4 at 65. No. Four at 85. Yeah, 4 at 85. 8 at 82.50. Oh, I cipher real good when I think about it. Yes. So if you want to help out, just run over to headon.live, click on the PayPal link, and or, you know, become a member at Patreon. If you jump in at Patreon, you won't see anything happen until December the 1st. But we'll still count it in the evening's fundraising goal. Okay. So here we are at the end of the week. You know, we kind of go through things that maybe we didn't devote enough time to over the course of the rest of the week. And I don't give him a whole lot of airtime on this program, but sometimes things that are so absolutely undeniably stupid emanate from the pie hole of the life support system for a haircut, otherwise known as Sean Hannity job, that you have to stop and look. You have to stop and listen. Because, wow, it takes some, I mean, this is some brass-bound stupid right here, and that's stupid with two O's and a capital St. Because as one of the primary white wing water carriers for Julius Geezer, the Hannity job is tasked. He tasks me. There, obligatory Star Trek reference out of the way. One of his primary tasks is to gin up fear and paranoia and terror and catapult the stupid, again with two O's and a capital St, among the maggots. So here, his trenchant comments on the intent of what is being called the caravan, which is not a caravan, and which poses no threat to the United States whatsoever, but inattention to which poses a great deal of consternation to the Tangerine Tiberius. you might want to get the hockey puck. I'm just saying.
No, finally, they're looking into it today. There was a DHS study, Department of Homeland Security. Now, listen to this. We're getting more information. Department of Homeland Security has identified at least 270 members of the caravan now heading to the U.S. border who are violent, convicted criminals. We had, according to a top Mexican official, some caravan members are planning to firebomb anybody that gets in their way. Now, in a release, myth versus fact, the caravan, the department also states 270 in the caravan either known gang members or have criminal backgrounds. I've said from the beginning, nobody could absolutely, you know, vouch for anyone that's in this. And anyway, they could get here to the border by as early as November 3rd, as late as November 12th. And the president now has 15,000 troops down on the border. Even the...
Wait. November 3rd? That's tomorrow. By God, they must be sprinting. Or have some of those Mad Max dune buggy thingies or something. Tomorrow? Woo! Be afraid, America. Be... Emery and Marvelline sitting there in your matching Barca loungers. Have you beshat yourselves yet? Because that's the purpose here. You're supposed to shit yourself with absolute gut-watering fear as you contemplate the firebombing poor people who are trying to escape being murdered in places like Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. Be afraid, Emery and Marvelline. Be very afraid. Brooga, 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 brooga. Ooh, firebombing. Firebombing. I was gonna make espresso. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mexican officials are saying that there are violent members that have inserted themselves into the caravan. I don't believe the caravan is like that. I've said for days now, probably 99% just want a better life, better jobs. But we can't vouch for the people that do have bad intentions.
And we don't have room for them here, doggone it. Now, if it was a caravan full of Norwegians, we might think about it. But oddly enough, the Norwegians don't seem to want to leave Norway, and it's rather a bit of a swim. And doggone it, they've got health care when they get sick, and they've got paid family leave, and they've got paid vacation every year. And so why would they want to come here? Damn it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just going to have to do something about crashing the Norwegian economy so that all of our future caravans can come from Norway. Yes. Well, so you see. Right. Firebombing. I mean, 99% of them might be good, but that doesn't matter because we can't tell who the dangerous ones are. And if they're throwing rocks, well, the Chlamydia Claudius has already declared that the troops that are heading to the border will shoot them on sight. He said it in public. I've told them.
Well, I've told them if anybody throws a rock, they're to view that rock as a rifle. A rock is a rifle.
Yes, and you're the God Emperor of Norblap 9. Sure. Take your medicine, Donnie. Take your medicine. But when it comes to when it comes to caravan terror, well, the poor little Hannity job just can't keep up. Witness Janine Pirro.
Bringing troops to the border, of course, you know, you've talked about it on the show, posse comitatus. I mean, they cannot be there to enforce the laws. They can be there to support, you know, Border Patrol. They can be there to give, like, you know, any kind of benefit from the air. And they are now 100, they say 5,200 or 2,600 now in staging areas. And it sends a very strong message. So as the caravans continue to travel, and that's just one tributary that we're looking at of caravans. And we know that at the Mexico-Guatemalan border,
there are probably dozens of caravans. Dozens. We
We cannot afford a caravan gap.
Violence. Right. And so, and Guatemalan police were injured. And as O'Shaughnessy has said, he's the general of the Northern Command, he said this is a serious, potential serious threat. So I want to know who's in that caravan. Are there pedophiles? Are there career criminals? Are there people who think they can beat their wives, you know, without consequence? We don't know, and that's the whole issue. So the president, by taking a...
Well, if there are people in the caravan who think they can beat their wives without consequence, they've got a they've got a friend in a whole bunch of members of this Republican Congress who, you know, voted against the Violence Against Women Act. Just saying.
Hard line by saying, look, you can only now seek asylum at ports of entry, and, you know, then dealing with the birthright citizenship issue, which has been...
There it is. Just a gentle reminder. Every time I hear it, I'm going to mention it. Anytime you hear anyone use the phrase birthright citizenship, I'm working on taking it out of my lexicon, because anytime you hear that phrase, birthright citizenship, you know you're dealing with somebody who is heavily influenced by bigotry, xenophobia, racism, you know, republicanism. Because all you have to do is read the 14th Amendment and the word birthright doesn't appear in there anywhere. And see, this is a matter of holding white wingers to their own standard. For instance, if you talk about the separation of church and state, your average maggot, especially of the evangelical religion industry variety, will start shrieking and hooting like a barn owl all about how, well, that phrase, freedom of religion, separation of church and state, it don't appear nowhere in the First Amendment. There ain't no such a thing. Well, then the word birthright doesn't appear in front of the word citizenship in Section 1 of the 14th Amendment now, does it? No, it doesn't. There ain't no such thing. There's only one thing, citizenship. Unless, of course, you're a filthy little bigot like Jeanine Pirro is. Jeanine Pirro, Snowflake, who threw a temper tantrum and pissed and moaned on the set of The View. Yeah, got straight up called out for her bullshit.
And kind of an anchor on our necks is recognizing this is an issue that we need to address. Well, you're a...
Thanks to the folks over at Media Matters for America who sit in little booths, I guess, and take one for the team and listen to this madness on a day-in and day-out basis. But, firebombs and pedophiles. Firebombing pedophiles. Pedophiles with firebombs. Ooh, scary stuff. Oh, sorry. Halloween's over. My bad. Steve in New York with a note. People in that caravan. Pedophiles? I somehow think Roy Moore is not in the caravan. Wife beaters? I'm pretty sure Donald Trump is not in the caravan. Oh, but boy, I tell you what. Yeah, you can almost hear Roy Tola Moore salivating from here, can't you? Yeah. Classy bunch of them. They really are. And by the way, I had a note from Dave. I mentioned his subscription today. He said, happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to you, Dave. The spouse stepped up and made me a new subscriber. You and Bill O'Brien bring it at a level that is unequaled. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dave. Thank you so very much indeed. Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana, getting the comedy going this evening. Wait, you rent a hollow tree from Jeff Sessions? Well, he's the bad elf, right? Yeah. And I had one of Ron and Raleigh's every damn day notes. I like these. Today, John Pornstash Bolton called out the Troika of Tyranny. Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua. Set the Wayback Machine for 2002 when George W. Bush called out the Axis of Evil. Well, see, that's why they use Troika of Tyranny. Axis of Evil was taken. That was also an invention of old Porn Stash. This crazy bastard just wants to get his war on as long as his chicken hawk ass stays safe and secure in D.C. Why, how very positively Kissingerian of him. Could someone tell me what have any of the Troika done to us for us to want to confront them? Nicaragua doesn't even have anyone in the caravan. Didn't we try to overthrow Hugo Chavez until his people called bullshit on the coup? Yes, we did. Cuba's trying to get their shit together after 50-plus years of needless sanctions placed on them by the U.S. in a fit of pique. Pumpkin Top has reinstated the pre-Obama sanctions on Iran, even though they're maintaining the nuclear agreement which the U.S. violated. Our staunch ally and the only democracy in the Middle East killed another 6 unarmed Palestinian protesters. Almost caught one of those fluffy-tailed little suckers out in the yard. All that running's helping my speed. Well, you know, speed's one thing, but when you're running rabbits, Ron, what you want is quickness. It's kind of like racquetball. You can be lumbering, but if you've got some quickness about you, you know, you've still got a fighting chance. So work, you know, don't just work on endurance and speed. Work on quickness, Ron. And you know what? A little 7 dust and the dirt, it just gives the dirt a piquancy for when you're eating dirt and running rabbits. All right. And Ron added, as to Norway, here's the answer, Bob, with a link to an article in The Atlantic. All right. Working. Why Norwegians aren't moving to the U.S., the country Trump wants immigrants from, isn't really interested. Yeah. It's there if you want to go to the Atlantic and find it. It's there for you, although I don't think many of us are scratching our heads really that much. Steve in New York, on a serious note, says, just when I thought they couldn't be more hateful and disgusting, they exceed their own standards. Regarding the Troika, the other part of that statement was that Pornstash said that Brazil's election of Jair Bolsonaro, I always have trouble. One of these days, I've just got to spend a weekend maybe yakking on Skype with Flavio and work up my Brazilian Portuguese pronunciation. Regarding the Troika, the other part of that statement was that Brazil's Pornstash said Brazil's election of Jair Bolsonaro was a step in the right direction. Emphasis on the word right, says Steve in New York. Yay, fascism. It's a step in the right direction. The hard right direction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to bear watching, the whole thing. Because, among other things, he wants to privatize. No, really. He wants to privatize pretty much the entirety of Brazil's forests. That'll work out well. And, you know, if it happens that there are some indigenous people who have somehow managed in the last 500 years not to run across any white people, well, the first time they do will probably be the last. Because, what kind of rights do they have? None in a fascist world. Oh. And then over there at the National Ruble Association, well, Greg Stinkfield lived up to his name. I can't fully understand what they spend their time thinking, if that's the right word for anything that goes on at the National Ruble Association, about. But apparently some of it is fantasizing about women on television.
Micah Brzezinski, okay? She comes out and she makes a statement, which is really no surprise, but I'll play it anyway. Listen.
The rhetoric of this racist, heartless, soulless man will lead to more violence. He knows what's coming next Tuesday. It could be bad for him. There could be subpoena power. There could be impeachment. He knows he's on the line. If you want a slight check on this man.
First of all, I'm sorry, we'll get to what Greg Stinkfield said in a minute. But, Mika, ixnay on the impeachment A.
Uppet stay. Okay, eh? Because there's nobody who is a serious student, if that's the right word, of American politics, who thinks it would be a good idea to impeach Donald Trump when there aren't 67 votes over in the Senate with which to convict him and remove him from office. And there aren't. Putting it bluntly, there simply are not. Assuming that Claire McCaskill, Joe Donnelly, Joe Manchin, and Heidi Heitkamp, miraculously, all get reelected, you couldn't even count on them to vote the right way on impeachment. And yet there are still, and it's not just Mika, it's,
the Democrats may impeach the president.
Really? Are we just assuming that the Democrats are as dim-witted as the Republican House was back in the 1990s when they went after Bill Clinton for lying about a consensual act of, you know, oral sex? And about which, apparently, Brett Kavanaugh, working for Kenneth Starr back then, furiously masturbated while trying to come up with the filthiest questions he could imagine asking. I mean, it just is. But anyway.
And his unrelenting race to the finish here to make sure he can continue destroying this country. You might want to vote all D.
Jesse, what is she doing? I mean, where is she going? What are her real problems other than that she doesn't like President Trump's attitude towards her and her boyfriend Joe?
Look, I don't know. I'm certainly not going to address the all D comment, but I do know this. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And I personally remember the GOP 2016 primary when Micah and Joe sat down with Donald Trump and did everything but massage his feet for him on camera. They were carrying his water the entire time.
That much is true. In the list of people that we have to thank, members of the millionaire media like Mika Brzezinski and Joe there, well, they were part of the group that gave away for free billion, channeling my inner Carl Sagan, billions and billions of dollars in free publicity to the asshole Augustus. Just, yeah.
So to see this blatant campaigning against him now, it's weird. It's a weird kind of falling out, and I don't pretend to know what kind of thing happened there.
You know, I wonder if Donald Trump denied Micah Brzezinski's advances. She seemed like she's just scorned from President Trump.
Yeah, like I said, Greg Stinkfield living up to his name. That's where they are over there at the headquarters of the National Ruble Association there in Fairfax, Virginia, in November of 2018, the waning years of the second decade of the 21st century. That's where they are. If a woman criticizes Donald Trump, it's because he didn't grab her by, and she wanted him to grab her by the... I almost liked these freaks better when they were hollering about not calling guns weapons and referring to them as tools instead. But then again, when you've got a tool like Greg Stinkfield there, the comparison begins to fail just a little bit, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, I ran across this a couple of days ago. There's this outfit, and they send me an email every day. God knows I didn't ask them to. Don't use it. It's called Grabian or Grabian. And mostly they specialize in clips, but I guess they've branched out into parody videos or some such. And this thing was released, what you're about to hear. It was released in the relatively immediate aftermath of the massacre in Pittsburgh. And there's really no debate left among people who don't live under bell jars in Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium about the fact that when a right-winger references George Soros, it's a dog whistle to the neo-Nazis and the Klansmen and the various and sundry freaks of the cesspit that is the right wing in this country. And so they released this thing under the guise of humor. We're going to play it, and maybe during the conversation on the front porch, we can find out how funny y'all thought it was. But the folks over at Grabian were pretty well convinced that it was a real knee slapper, to the point that they issued an editor's note. Now, Grabian plays this game of claiming to be nonpartisan. But all you have to do is spend a little time with them, and you'll find out that, no, this is just another right-wing cesspool.
An editor's note on the decision to publish this post. We began this video spoof, the day after our, you know, whatever parody video, not going to give them the billing, production was completed last Monday. This would be Monday a week ago, the day a mail bomb was delivered to Soros' residence in New York. We decided to sit on the video to avoid anyone suggesting we were adding to a hostile anti-Soros climate. During that time, many in the media, without citing, but yep, there's a link, many in the media arguing that criticizing Soros is a coded way to express anti-Semitic attitudes. This, of course, is nonsense. It's true that crazy people believe crazy things, sometimes about George Soros, such as that he's some kind of furtive puppet master. That right there is another one of them little code words, manipulating global events via the Trilateral Commission, or more recently that he's funding the migrant caravan. But what's not a conspiracy theory is that Soros funds left-wing agitation groups like the ones referenced in this video. Attempting to silence legitimate criticism and legitimate reporting through this kind of intimidation is in part motivating our decision to publish this spoof. And it's meant to entertain, and we think everyone right now could use a laugh.
Yeah, right, everybody needs a laugh. Like a laugh, say, about right-wing Nazi dog whistling after people have been slaughtered in their synagogue. Everyone could use a laugh. Well, let's see if we're laughing. Shall we? Yes.
Are you out of work? Do you have a criminal background? Are you willing to travel the nation with all expenses paid? Well, you might just be eligible for a prestigious grant from the Soros Scholars Fund. Now you may ask, what are Soros Scholars? Don't worry, no studying is required and all the training is provided. All you have to be is angry, self-righteous, and willing to create a scene.
This clip is of people marching on a highway shutdown for Black Lives Matter. How did he describe that again? All you have to be, and there was another shot of a die-in. Civil disobedience. Civil protest, that whole petitioning the government for redress of grievances that's pretty well spelled out in the First Amendment, but you can tell already. I mean, this is a real laugh riot, this thing is.
...is required, and all the training is provided.
All you have to be is angry, self-righteous, and willing to create a scene.
Pigs in a blanket!
At the sore.
Yeah, because that's what people marching for Black Lives Matter are. Angry and self-righteous and willing to create a scene. My goodness. I tell you what, with comedy like this, they can just shut down over at Comedy Central because the geniuses over at Grabian are on the, they're on the job.
Pro Scholars Fund, we're changing the world one act of civil disobedience at a time.
Stop Kavanaugh! Our bodies are choice! Stop Kavanaugh!
So join us and meet other like-minded unemployed people and finally find a purpose in life. You say you're not legal, no problem. No education, even better. No home, they're overrated. The Soros Scholars Fund has unlimited grants for young millennials who might lack useful skills, but more than make up for it with their sense of entitlement and cans of LaCroix. Yes, you too can change the world, solving the environment, solving inequality, feeding the hungry, starving the fat simply by shouting and breaking things. Don't know much about the Supreme Court or even what it is. Well, who does? So great, you're gonna fit right in. Now, for the special uninformed applicants, you might just be eligible to become a Soros Scholar of Toxicity. Find yourself on the nightly news cycle, randomly shouting and interrupting congressional proceedings without any knowledge of what they're doing and why. Now,
isn't it interesting that in this knee slapper here, this laugh fest, that they make the assumption that people who are out there protesting things like Brat Kavanaugh or the slaughter of young black men at the hands of police, isn't it interesting that the folks at Grabian assume that the people doing it have no idea why. And, of course, they're perpetuating the puppet master myth and the idea that George Soros has paid each and every one of these protesters.
Ideal candidates will possess a strong desire to talk about themselves, no interest in the power of persuasion, and an unshakable self-esteem and sense of victimization. So, pick up the phone, call us today, and finally become the hero you always knew that you were.
Grabian, the multimedia marketplace.
Yeah. You laughing yet? Because I didn't even crack a smile. I find the smarmy, smug, privileged, sneering approach to this to be pretty well sickening. But then again, you can, you gotta imagine, they thought it was funny. This video spoof. And they used the first-person plural pronoun, we, so that means that there was more than one person involved, and that means they must have sat around and giggled and chuckled and tittered and found it entirely risible. Which means that I have no conception whatsoever of what passes for funny over at Grabian and in the white wing mindset. I bet they were laughing so hard they couldn't catch their breath when Heather Heyer got run over in Charlottesville. I'll bet Cesar Sayoc had them absolutely splitting their sides. We think everyone now could use a laugh. Yeah, there's nothing funnier than watching the demise of constitutional and civil governance in your country. Gosh, people laughed into 1939 and and they laughed and laughed in 1948 with the takeover of Mao's takeover, and you know, Pol Pot was known as to be an absolute prankster, and that Stalin, well, you didn't turn your back on that Stalin, or well, the next thing you know, you'd have a hot foot, or you'd maybe open a door with a bucket of boric acid sitting above it, and the next thing you know, your skin's burning off your flesh, and there's Stalin and all that, just a laughing away, and well, goodness me, don't even think for a minute about taking, say, oh, I don't know, Heinrich Himmler up on his pull my finger gag, because when you did, you wound up in a fucking death camp. Funny. Yeah, Ron in Raleigh says, where are the parodies about the Charles and David Koch-funded organizations? I know. Well, it's kind of hard to actually laugh about that, but that's because we're a bunch of serious lefties who are self-absorbed and don't know anything about the issues. Right? No. Oy. Silent R. Lamar says they want a good laugh, they should look in the mirror. And by the way, it's Silent R. Lamar's birthday. The Big 60. All I want is my front tooth. And a damn good show tonight. Oh, hell, every night's a damn good show. So I need to pay for the new front tooth. Oh, poo. Piggy bank, here I come. Well, dadgummit, I hope that's a joke. But I'm apparently having real humor problems here. But we'll do the best we can to make it a damn fine Friday on the front porch. But I told you that we had a lot to catch up with. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna sit around and save this until prayer meeting Wednesday next week. It might go stale by then. This goes back to Tuesday. And it's our old buddy, Dave Daubenmeyer. Yes, yes, the man who's convinced that softball causes young women to grow large posteriors, cut their hair, and engage in rampant lesbianism. And so he found a little time on Tuesday, old Dave did, to explain where people like you and me come from. That's right, where liberalism comes from. No, not the Enlightenment, of course not. No, no, not any of the classic philosophers that we look to, Hobbes, Locke. No, somewhere else.
Okay, now I'm going to say this, and I'll get my tinfoil hat on my shoulder again here. Folks, if you don't realize that we're being poisoned with...
I'm pretty sure it's aluminum foil, just saying, but I wouldn't expect old Dave to really know the difference between tin and aluminum. You can't ask so much. No.
Look up at the chemtrail. The food that we're eating. If we don't realize that, Mark, maybe you could help this, or maybe somebody's far smarter than me. I'm just using my own common sense.
Well, frankly, a run over dog turd in the middle of the road is far smarter than you, Dave, but do continue.
That we are ingesting, whether through stuff that there's spray, whether it be stuff that they put in our food, whether it be chemicals when they're growing the plants, whatever it be. I believe that we are ingesting, for lack of a better term, chips. Now, I don't mean chips. I don't mean chips you put in your...
No, and he doesn't mean lead paint chips that he apparently munched on for years and years and years as a child. No, not those kind of chips.
But are we ingesting aluminum and barium? And are we ingesting things that are transmittable or receive transmissions? Is that what's going on? Is that why people seem to be so zombie-like, so programmed? Think of this, right? So we ingest these things, and then we go from 1G to 2G to 3G to 4G to 5G. And, Mark, these things are electronic transmissions. These are waves that are moving throughout the
Wait a minute. He's based in Ohio. Did he have a conversation with Jill Stein back when she got lost somewhere between Columbus and Cincinnati? Oh, Jesus. Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana, asking, does old Dave Dickenmeyer have an idea on what slime pit conservatives ooze out of? Well, no, see, that's because you've been eating chips, Jeff. If you'd be nice and conservative if you hadn't.
Moving throughout the world. And if we have ingested aluminum or some type of particle that picks up those waves or is impacted by those waves. Mark, this isn't crazy, is it?
Well, kind of, yeah, like you're off your meds. But here's the funny thing. If, and it will never come to pass, I was to sit down and try to explain to old Dave here, say, the stuff that does get ingested or taken into human bodies, say, off of from the air pollution that accompanies, say, frac pads or the 3+ million pounds of high explosives that get used every day in West Virginia's mountaintop removal sacrifice zone, and brings on things like birth defects and brain cancer and lung cancer and belly cancer and heart disease and all that sort of, he would tell me that there's no way that could possibly be true. Because, well, coal keeps the lights on. Yeah. Brother Deacon Asa, apparently nobody took the time to explain the difference between ionizing and non-ionizing radiation to dumbass Dave here. I don't think they ever got much past tying his shoelaces, frankly. Because remember, on one of the more recent occasions when we checked in with old Dave, he was lost in the dictionary. And was talking about how he would rather have been called that word that Andrew Gillum had to spell out the other day in Florida instead of being referred to as short. You're not going to have a whole lot of Helen Keller at the well moments. Agnes has got her bear suit on.
It's time to start drinking, folks. A lot. A lot.
I know. Lovely, isn't it? Yeah. I love you, dear.
I love you.
Trying to keep the heat bill down. That's why the bear suit.
No, it's because I've just gone furry.
Well, okay. Oh, dear. Might be an interesting evening. But there's not going to be a lot of Helen at the well moments. But, you know, thinking, Dave, it has a name. No.
I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand how waves work. But I know this. I walk out of my house. And I look and I see cell towers, and those cell towers are there because waves are going through the air, and it hits that tower, and that tower shoots that wave someplace else. So if I have ingested some aluminum, don't I become a charged? Am I not somewhat charged as a result of that? We've become transmitters or receivers. All of us have. We've been poisoned in our environment.
Transmitters or receivers, huh? Pitching versus catching, coach. Is that what you're talking about there, Dave? Is it? No, just asking. Yeah.
Now, whether it was done on purpose or not, they have figured it out. Whoever they are, they have figured it out, and they're using that. as I said, the food do we eat, Roundup, we can go on and on and on and on. So I believe this stuff is very, very real.
Well, I'm kind of with him on the Roundup part, but it's one thing to say this is dangerous. It's another thing to say, and that's why people think like they think.
I believe it's very real. And I believe, can I tell you something?
No.
I think Michael Savage wrote a book.
Wait, he just used the word think and Michael Savage in the same sentence. This is funnier than I thought it was going to be. Maybe he should go to work for Grabian.
Liberalism is a mental disorder. And I think he's true, but I think it's been controlled or caused by outside forces. I can't believe some of the things people, I just can't believe it. It's not even natural, right?
Is there a chance that through the judicious administration of, say, some peyote or mushrooms or perhaps even lysergic acid diethylamide, one might actually somehow or another make some sense out of that? Or would one just be left rolling helplessly, laughing on the floor? Because that was about crazier in the head than the hog is in the ass. Whew! The subject line, chips. Steve was thinking, wait, did Jill Stein anyone? And Steve continued and said, you know where I can send old Dave some hemlock to try? Now, Steve. For the record, Steve says, I believe the children are our future, for what that's worth. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Yes. Scott in San Diego, subject line, Coach Dave. Isn't he the guy with the dog that gets scared by inflatable spot? No, that's not it. No, that's some other weirdo. This is a different weirdo. And by the way, the dog's name, Scott, is Gator. And he barks at inflatable spiders. Because they have demons. Anyway, Scott says next he'll be telling us all about how a submarine crew who shrunk to microscopic size has ventured into the body of an injured scientist to repair damage to his brain. No, wait. That's the 1966 film Fantastic Voyage. I don't think that would slow Dave down. Don't give him any ideas. Jack in Shreveport laughs. With all the slurs about the lefties not knowing anything about the Supreme Court or about anything else, the right-wing comedians didn't bother to put a single fact of their own or a fact the left got wrong into their unfunny bit. Well, no, it was just a slur, that's all. But if you're a Republican, if you're a right-winger, if you're a maggot, slurs are funny. See how it works? So, right. Steve in New York says, oh, dear Scott, let's keep our wing nuts straight. That's the problem. So many of them say they're straight and then get, caught snorting meth off a rent boy's butt. But, yeah, that's Ted Haggard, just saying. There's so many things to do here. Anyway. It's about 5 minutes before the hour. And again, a reminder, we've got $340 to raise this evening. 140 of that so we can so you can get your money doubled in Shirley's challenge. And then the other 200 is just Friday night. So hopefully that'll get started and we'll have it taken care of in the next 2 hours and 5 minutes or so. Messages coming in all over the place. But it is Friday on the front porch, and we've got lots more stuff to go into. But by all means, note coming from Dave from Talibandiana. Hey, Bob, love the Halloween program, but as far as Coach Daubenmeyer is concerned, he, along with David Duke and that ilk, I'd like to distance myself from them. They don't represent the majority of Daves in the world. I see what you're doing here, Dave. They don't represent the majority of Daves in the world. They may believe they're beloved of God, but frankly, they wouldn't know him if they met him, and I firmly believe that I should start a new business, Crazy Dave's Crucifixion Services, just for these right-wing asshats. At Crazy Dave's, we remember where the hammer and nails are. Now, that's a joke you don't have to have in the original German to love to all of you on the front porch. Sorry, I can't be there this evening. Your buddy Dave in Talibandiana. P.S. I'm still setting up my trumpansie blind to observe trumpansies in their natural habitat. I'll report later. Signed, Dave. Ah, they look peaceful, don't they? Don't make any sudden moves, because they can go wild. Mm-hmm. John with a note, subject line, Dumbass Meyer. This was more of a laugh riot than the parody you played earlier. No amount of adult beverages can take the taste of Dave out of your system. Ick. Steady lunch. Steady. And here's the fun part. They get to vote. Yes. Isn't that just something? Mm-hmm. We're all connected up with the front porch. Let's run over and check in with Sparky and see what's going on. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm enjoying an 84-degree day, man. Climate change is wonderful.
Until it's not.
And me and Grady been doing some excavating.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're digging up my septic tank lids.
Ooh. That sounds like it could be potentially not fun.
Oh, it's not fun, but I'm just doing a little bit every day. I'm in no hurry to do it. I know where they are, and they're all marked off. I had a monument put in the last time.
Yeah, just so you don't have to go searching again?
Yeah. I was told to have it done every 7 years, so it's been 7 years.
Oh, dear, that probably means I've got some work to do, and damn it, I let the summer get by me.
Well, I don't know how long it's been since you had your shit pumped.
Well, that was a brand new septic system about 7 years ago, and so it's...
Oh.
Yeah.
But that's what the last guy that pumped their tank told my dad, and he relayed it to me, so... And I had to cover the tank with backup, so I marked where with a piece of PVC, you tied it onto the handle and stuck it up above the ground.
Yeah, so you can... Because the hunting for that's not a lot of fun either.
And then I needed to go 11 and a half inches each way from that post of PVC.
Right, and, you know, Grady's a great shop dog and everything, but there's every possibility that when he goes to digging, he's liable to be after a gopher.
No, I can get him to dig. I got him to dig on this second lid today. I got him to dig it down. He got down to the concrete.
Wow.
So I just got to dig it out some more, you know, because it's a pretty big size square. when you get right down to it, dude. Get dug out. So
is the work all done?
No, I'm just doing a little bit at a time. I get the second lift done. I call and have the guy come next week. And Wednesday, I'm getting my furnace fixed. And Tuesday, I got my semi-annual doctor's visit. So I won't be in the chat room.
Ah, okay. At the beginning. Right.
At the beginning.
Okay, well, let's check around the room. I didn't see who said it, but somebody's got a head for a high school football game, so let's bring them into the conversation.
Oh, that's
how's it going,
Dennis?
Oh, hey, Dennis, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. High school football game tonight?
Yeah, I think it's our last home game tonight. My daughter's going to be cheering at it, and I think it's for the district championship.
Ooh. So something to play for.
Oh, yeah. You know, Texas football, it's real serious business here.
Oh, that's not business. That's religion.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've got some serious football taking place tomorrow involving the state of Texas as well.
Oh, yeah? Who's your team?
My beloved Mountaineers will be squaring off against the Longhorns.
Oh.
About 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central tomorrow, you know, in Austin. The six and one Mountaineers against the 6-2 Longhorns.
Speaking of football, my 49ers unleashed their secret weapon last night.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Nick Mullins from Southern Mississippi. That kid was on fire. They slaughtered the Raiders.
And the star of the show, the cheerleader that kneeled.
The cheerleader that kneeled?
Yeah. The first cheerleader to ever kneel at a game was the 49ers.
How cool.
I didn't see that. They don't usually show the national anthems anymore anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened to her, but I did read about it, and it's all over the internet.
Well, I'll have to check it out. But that's my football story.
Well, tomorrow is I'm more of a college game person, and so I got the Mountaineers to worry about tomorrow, and then of course tomorrow evening. The marquee game of the Saturday, Alabama versus LSU down in Baton Rouge.
That's going to be nice.
Oh, well, I mean, that'll decide the SEC West, which will probably decide the, I don't know, Georgia. It may decide, well, it'll basically set up what the SEC championship's going to be.
Absolutely.
And of course, I'll be screaming "Roll Tide" for all I'm worth, alma mater, and all of that.
Saban is a hell of a coach; he's unparalleled.
Yeah, and I still haven't gotten I've been able to find an answer. I've looked around a little bit. I still don't know if all the maggots down in Alabama, many of whom are Alabama fans, I don't know if they realize that Nick Saban endorsed a Democratic candidate for Senate or not, because I can't think that's going to play real well with them. But he appeared in a commercial for Joe Manchin up here.
Well, it's been my experience that those Republicans just don't do facts. They don't like to fact check. They don't like to do research. And then when you stump them on something, they just roll back to deflection.
just stick their heads back in the sand. Right, sure.
I don't know how many debates I've had to try to have with people where I stumped them and it was like, but Hillary, but uranium, but, you know.
Well, we had an example of that last night. There was a senatorial debate here in West Virginia between Joe Manchin and Pill Push and Patrick Morrissey. And it was really kind of weird because you would have sworn that Hillary Clinton was somewhere in the room. Because instead of talking about how what he wanted to do as a senator, Pill Push and Patrick Morrissey spent all of his time talking about Hillary Clinton, who, curiously enough, is not on the ballot for Senate from the state of West Virginia. Damnedest thing.
Exactly. I mean, she's a civilian. And people can't stop talking about her. It's their go-to ammunition.
Give them Hillary Bruga Bruga Hillary. MAGA MAGA Hillary MAGA. That was every other answer from the freak. Go figure. But, you know, hey, I guess it worked. Well, West Virginia.
Well, they gotta have a demon. If it isn't Hillary, it's Nancy Pelosi.
I didn't catch any George Soros references, but I may have walked out of the room at one point in time. But you know, Jesus. So
he doesn't have Republican talking points then, if you didn't mention George Soros.
Maybe he just assumed that the maggots here don't know who he is. Is that Grady?
Yeah.
Has he got
the German Shepherd next door?
Oh, they're playing tag.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe he had had something treed.
He's going home on Tuesday, supposedly.
Oh, really? Oh, you'll be bereft.
And then my minion's moving away.
Oh, no, like for good?
Yeah, he's moving up the road. I mean, to Cottonwood, little burg.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a pity. When does he leave?
Oh, I'm not sure. I was out checking the mail and he ran over and told me they were moving. I'll get more information later, hopefully. Bye.
Well, you've had a positive influence on him, so hopefully that'll pay off down the road. Well, let's move around a little bit. Hey, Steve, what's happening, man?
Bob, what's going on, brother?
You're going on, man.
You the man. Good show last night. Me being a movie buff, I was totally eating that up, man.
Oh, I think Dan had a good time, and I know I had a good time talking to him.
Well, I didn't realize until after the fact that he's got his hands on a lot of big projects, you know, or did
yeah.
at one time.
No, I mean, he's
no lightweight, man.
He's a pro.
Yeah, in every sense of the word. He was in on the HBO show Girls, which is
yep.
one of Karen and I's favorite at one time, you know. And, I like shows that have a lot of dialogue. It's not so much just explosions and all that shit, you know, that Van Diesel crap. And that seems to be his wheelhouse as well. So I'd really like to grab his ear one night and just pick his head.
Well, the shoot me a list of questions, and next time we talk, you know.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. Do you plan on having him on again? Or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whenever he wants to.
Cool. Well, I hope it's soon because, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. It's very interesting. And you know, he's got his own struggles, like we all do, health issues and all that shit, you know.
Yeah, that whole heart, I was on Facebook, and I saw a post from him and said, well, today's the day. I went, whoa. I mean, I don't think most of us can really conceptualize what that must feel like. Well, they're going to take my heart out, and they're going to put a new one in, and we'll just hope for the best.
Yeah, and put me on an artificial machine for a while. No, I can't wrap my head around that. I just had minor surgery, and it scared me to death. Just something like that, it's just you really have to make peace with it.
But he obviously had a good team, and
mm-hmm.
and he's got a great outlook and a good attitude and good folks all around him. And
oh,
so,
it yeah. seemed like a wonderful man. Just really, really did. Just a jewel of a man. So yeah, I'm looking forward for you to getting him back on again.
Well, I will. I most assuredly will. And
it was nice to take a break, you know, from all this Trump bullshit.
Well, that's kind of why I did it the way I did it. I didn't. There was a lot of information available to be discussed, And we could have wandered off into the political swamp, but I felt like there was more good being done in the conversation the way it was running.
Yeah, well, it was enjoyable from this, and of course I can't speak for everyone. Just a side note, if I disappear, my Skype's been crashing on me just out of nowhere, and I don't know why, so.
Well, because it's Skype.
Yeah. Duncan's right. The older versions were much more stable.
Yeah, oh, this
version just disappears. I mean, I could be talking away and just poof.
Yeah.
Yep. Gone, man. Have to restart it.
Any plans for the weekend or anything?
Oh, the weather's gorgeous. We're supposed to have great weather. So, you know, they have a lot of apple festivals up in near Ellijay, Georgia, which is just an excuse to have a party and buy apples and drink apple cider, you know. So Garrett and I might head there tomorrow.
Hard cider?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Yep. So what about you?
It's gonna be a fairly quiet weekend because, among other things, some rain in the forecast. We might get up just barely above 50 tomorrow. So it's probably going to be kind of cloudy and ooky. I don't know. If the weather cooperates a little bit, I might go out and see if I can find a manager's special slab of ribs and slap it on the smoker or something. Just
nice. Beats the hell out of poking around for your septic tank cover.
Oh, well.
That's Diggy Duncan, man. It's a shitty subject, but he's right. That's the most neglected.
Oh.
I don't want to call it appliance.
That's a shitty subject.
It's the most neglected piece of, I don't know, you got to have it to keep your house going. And people's houses, you don't want to think about where the shit goes, you know? Nobody does. And once again, here it is, 7:15, and we've already...
You've learned all the shtick now, Steve. Yeah, 12 minutes past 7 p.m. in the Eastern time zone, and we are already working into the gutter. Yep.
Into the gutter. And I had no idea that you had to replace those lids every 7 years. I've been here since the mid-90s, and I've never replaced a damn lid, you know? I've had a pump, but nobody ever told me that it needed to replace it, so... That's something else I got to put on my to-do list.
Oh, goody.
Right. Replace your lid?
Yeah. That's what Duncan was saying. Unless I misunderstood him, isn't that what he was saying, Bob? Or...
No,
just find it.
Find it and pump it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're a do-it-yourselfer, huh?
No. But you have to find the lid. Yeah, it's buried.
Right. Oh, okay. I understand that, but you got to have professional service. I don't know many people that have the honey trucks laying around, you know. Just
No.
Do it.
No.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me going or I'll start talking about working on a sewage treatment plant.
Yeah. Now, I have heard
Yahoo
that will pump it themselves if they run down the hill. Yeah. Not me.
Yeah.
I have too much respect for my neighbors to try that, you know. But changing the subject. Because that subject's pretty shitty.
Well, I tell you what, you don't give up, do you?
I'm relentless. I'm relentless. So, you know, I've had something that's been kind of troubling me, and maybe I can get the Horn family to weigh in on this.
You're very good. You're very good at this. You bring good topics to the table, Steve. Take the ball and run.
Well, okay, you know, the blue wave, if we hit the blue wave, and I'm not saying it's a foregone conclusion. In fact, I'm very skeptical. And I don't mean to sound like Mr. Doom and Gloom, and I think I touched base with you about this yesterday. But, my God, I'm afraid some of these hardcore Trump maniacs are going to lose their minds, man. I mean, they're already losing their minds. It hasn't even happened yet.
Well, as I said when we were discussing it, and what I've said on the air here, what bugs me is... If they lose, they're going to go nuts. If they win, they're going to go nuts.
So, catch-22, and I'm certainly not advocating to let them win. Fuck that. You know, I'd rather go down fighting than just go down. So, go out and vote. You have to. I already did. I did. Karen and I went early voting because their schedule was so limited. But, yeah, I was thinking on that, and I thought, man... If we do get this blue wave, first of all, they're going to say rigged. And then Trump's going to call all his minions to arms, you know? You know he will. That's how he rolls, man.
He already has.
Yeah. And then what?
Yeah, that shoot on sight order for the for the troops. That was, yeah, well now.
Oh, about the rocks?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus. Comparing a rock to a high-powered weapon. What is wrong with this man?
Well, I mean, spirochetes.
They shouldn't be carrying any weapons at all.
No, and
they're not. They can't enforce laws.
Doesn't he have like 3 soldiers for every alleged person that may be trying to seek asylum? And what's so terrible about seeking asylum? They're running away from oppressive governments. I mean, we should be here to help people, not turn them away with. I don't get any of this, man. I'm not geared to think like these fucking people do.
It's all a stunt. It's a look over here.
And dog whistling. He's trying to scare people. That latest ad he had basically said, you know, be afraid of brown people. I mean, I don't know how else to sum it up. If you've seen it, have you seen it, Bob? The latest Trump ad.
Yeah, oh yeah, no. Yeah, have I seen it? Yeah. I've deliberately not run it here.
No, don't. But it's chilling. That, you know, and it's because it's going to get so many of these whack jobs fired up because people buy into his nonsense. You know, if you let the Democrats take the House, then you're going to be overrun.
Well, as was pointed out, it's pretty much the filthiest, sleaziest thing since the Willie Horton ad.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They took one isolated incident and tried to make it blanket cover for everybody. These are just people that we would do the same thing if it were air families. He's trying to make us afraid of housewives and children. Damn it, no. We need to help these people if possible. I mean, it's the only humanitarian thing to do. If you got half a heart.
Well, the thing is, this isn't like the first time it's ever happened either.
No.
It's just, you know, it's election time, scare tactics, scare them into voting.
And who is this talking now?
Oh, that's Dennis.
This is Dennis.
Dennis, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to get your thoughts on all this.
I'm along with you. I think it's stoking fear. It's firing up his base. He's trying to get more voters. He's scared. I think Trump is literally scared.
Oh yeah, I am.
They're
too.
Coming after him.
And
he is
knows.
Petrified.
But I mean, wait.
The House wins.
But
go ahead, Bob.
But wait, if this is the thing. Yes, if Democrats get control of the House, they can investigate him. They can issue subpoenas. They can make him sweat. But
his taxes, Bob. Well, he's going to be exposed to his sycophants, to the phony that he really is. And I think that's what's got him pulling all these stops. The unthinkable.
Yeah, I mean, they have his accountant. He's already. Yeah.
Who's
going to
charge him?
Well, not charge him, but just expose it to the general public, his tax returns.
Maggots won't care.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If they do that, who's going to hold him accountable? Not the Congress.
I mean, I've got a story, just sitting here waiting. Michael Cohen gave an interview. You know, I mean, Michael Cohen, for God's sakes, but he talked with Emily Jane Fox at Vanity Fair, and he told her that, among other things.
I think I read the same article.
Let's see. He said, I told Trump that the rally looked vanilla on television. Trump responded, that's because black people are too stupid to vote for me.
That's exactly what I read.
And then there's another instance where he said, Michael Cohen said, we were going from the airport to the hotel in Chicago, and we drove through what looked like a rougher neighborhood, and Trump made a comment to me saying, only the blacks could live like this. And the fact of the matter is, at one point in time, we were, I think most of us were naive enough that we actually believed that if somebody was to put the raw tape of the Access Hollywood stuff out with him uttering that word, you know, every 10 seconds or something, whatever, that somehow that would make a difference, and the maggots would go, well, you know, that's a bridge too far. But we know now, after almost 2 years, that the maggots will simply say, well, that's just him telling it like it is. That's all that is. He's just telling it like, he just speaks his mind, and he ain't going to be politically correct, and that means that sometimes he's going to say some words that ain't deemed to be politically correct, and that's why I voted for him.
And he's beat the system, and I'm proud of him. I'd do the same thing.
Takes a smart man to have all that kind of money and still not pay taxes. So, without peeing on anybody's Wheaties, the House of Representatives can investigate him, and they could even maybe refer stuff to the Justice Department. Well. The mush-mouthed Keebler elf is probably gone about as quick as the midterms are over. So are a bunch of other people in the regime. And it's, I mean, realistically speaking, I mean, I heard Steny Hoyer being interviewed earlier today on National Petroleum Radio. And you know, the person interviewing him, you know, laughing, you know, they're just laughing and chuckling, you know, because they're good buddies. Not really. You know, what about impeachment? And so Steny Hoyer said, well, you know, maybe there's some people that would like to have him impeached, but it's a terribly, terribly serious undertaking, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is, an impeachment is not worth the paper that it's printed on if it just goes over to the Senate and dies. And when I heard Steny Hoyer basically downplay the idea of impeachment just because this stuff rattles around inside my noggin, I could hear all kinds of purity patrol folks and goddamn Democrats, they gotta impeach him, they gotta impeach him. Well, yeah, if the Democrats have a House majority, maybe they can. But what happens after that? I know we've been down this road time after time after time, but it almost it feels like it has to be kind of explained over and over again. By the way, Ron in Raleigh says, I beg to differ. No, never mind what Michael Cohen said. Black folks are too smart to vote for his racist ass. Well, that's about it. Yeah. And the whole meltdown of Blexit and Candace Owen and the artist formerly known as Kanye West distancing himself from her, and she said, that hurt like being shot in the heart. It broke my heart. Oh, spare me. But what you're saying, you know, I would like to think that there's a fighting chance that we take the House. I have to hold out hope that we can take the Senate. And, you know, lightning could strike. Those two things could happen. And I think it's more probable we take the House, but it could happen in the Senate, too.
But not enough for impeachment.
A 51-vote Democratic majority will not support a bill of impeachment.
No, all you're going to do is fire up his base. It's all you're going to do, and it's going to whiplash, and we're going to end up with a son of a bitch for another 4 years, man.
I ran across audio earlier today of a maggot saying, well, that feller sent that bomb, and that feller shot up that synagogue. They was socialists. I kid you not. So... there is that hardcore cancerous knot of his supporters who are not going to move, who are not going to budge. And you've got all the gerrymandering and the, you know, there's an absolutely desperate effort underway in North Dakota to provide street addresses so that people on reservations there can vote. It's all over the place. I mean, God, Steve, you know full well just being in Georgia. I mean, what do you think of Stacey Abrams' chance?
Honestly, slim to none, and none done left town. Because not because she's not qualified, or not because the votes aren't there, it's because the table is tilted. The game is rigged, and you got the fox guarding the hen house.
Even with the court order saying that the absentee votes must be counted.
Maybe I've been listening to you too long, Bob. Not to pin this on you, but I'm very pessimistic. Living here and the environment, and just getting the feedback from people, that neighbors and whatnot.
Well, here's another question that's not getting a hell of a lot of coverage. Is there any chance of upsetting the apple cart in the Georgia legislature? Or is that just going to be a Republican majority in both houses no matter what?
Well, here's the thing, Bob. My representative in both the state and the House, on the local side, they're unopposed. Hell, I think I wrote you in. Remember I told you, Bob, you're going to have to move to Georgia.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
Because they're unopposed. To me, there's nothing more frustrating than that.
Yeah, empty ballot positions are the sign of a moribund party.
And people, even Democrats, take the mindset, well, yeah, he's a tool, but at least he's their tool. Bullshit. He's got to go. I know this guy, and he's not a nice person.
I would say I have the same fears on that too, but after seeing the increase of young voters turning out in a midterm election that's outdoing a presidential election as far as in Texas goes, I still have hope for it, and it's not over. So I mean, if you give up, they've already won. So I'm convincing everybody I see, go vote.
Oh, me too.
Well, okay, on from a Texas standpoint, Dennis. What about this latest thing where Ted Cruz reached out to pat the hand of Steve King, who we now all know pretty much recognize as being a Nazi, and Ted Cruz reached out to make sure that. So is that gonna motivate enough Nazi? Was that the thinking? Let's motivate enough Nazis in Texas to push Ted Cruz over the top?
From personal experience, I can only speak from my area, my neighborhood, I guess, is more Democrat leading, but there are a lot of hardlining, Trump can do no wrong, I don't care what he says, I'm going to support him through what, and now that extends to Cruz. That's what worries me about that. And I think Cruz is a huge just wuss. I mean, Trump talked all crap about his father, his wife, everything, and he just took it. And then he phone banked for him. I don't see it. I really hope Beto takes him out. I see the numbers. I see a lot of minorities out there voting. I see them. I mean, it's going to be close either way, but I have hope that Beto will win. He's giving people in Texas hope. And by extension, there's a lot of people, if you watch the live streams, that are all over the country and out of the country, Australia, New Zealand, like just all over Europe, you know, sending him money. I've never in my life, I mean, I'm only 43, but I've never in my life seen somebody electrify the community as far as an election, even presidential.
Reminds me of Bobby Kennedy.
Everybody says that.
And I was in high school when he ran.
Like, he'll be back here in San Antonio on Sunday afternoon, and I'm hoping to see him again. I mean, the guy's just a magnet. He just draws the people in, and he cares about everybody.
Are you trying to keep up with John?
No, that's a tall order. Jeez, those are some big shoes to fill.
He had a. I don't know if he's going to show up today or not, but we told the story earlier about how he overslept yesterday and had it because he messed up his back. He was on the heat pad in the house and he overslept and he got to the rally yesterday as it was ending up. So, but he got in the line to get his picture taken again with Beto. A little video on it.
Everybody that goes to those rallies wants a picture. Everybody. And there's even Cruz supporters in there that actually go and listen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that gal that's with him, Cynthia, that takes all the pictures most of the time.
Oh, yeah. I saw him a couple of weeks ago at a smaller rally. I mean, I didn't really get to meet him, but I did get to meet her and take a picture with her, and she's very take charge. She's inspirational.
What do you guys think about Oprah campaigning for Stacey Abrams?
That was awesome. Awesome, man. Made my day. What did you think about it, Tracy?
I thought it was great. I mean, yeah. You know, just the fact that she, I mean, you know, unfortunately, like you guys said, the deck is stacked because, you know, the Secretary of fucking State is running for governor and he's disqualifying. I don't see how that's not a conflict of interest. It is.
It's called politics, Tracy.
It just really boggles the mind that this motherfucker's just allowed to say, well, no, you can't vote. But by the way, I'm running for governor and the people that are most likely to vote for me, I'm going to make sure they can't vote.
Like, fuck them. Fuck them. They don't deserve to vote. If they're not going to vote for me, I don't want them to vote, basically.
Right. And so the thing is, and you know, and one of the things that people talk about, you know, the pundits and how we need these local and state offices.
Yeah.
Because, you know, governor, especially governor and secretary of state.
Yeah.
In these states where, you know, people can just be disqualified because I don't, you know, and these, you know, the exact match laws and like in what's happening in the, was it South Dakota or North Dakota where?
North Dakota.
Where they, you know, oh, you have a street address, so you can't vote. You're killing Native Americans?
Well, what, you know, it's totally ridiculous. The ironic thing about that rule, though, is that's going to probably disqualify a lot more MAGAs than it will Native Americans.
Yeah, because of all the trailer parks and shit, right?
Yeah, that don't have street addresses. Yeah, I suppose it would be the trailer parks. I mean, North Dakota, have you ever been to North Dakota, Tracy?
No desire.
It's like, you know,
not just no, no desire.
Well spoken.
But hell no.
I mean, we're talking like cities of any consequence are maybe 100 miles apart. So if you see a sign next gas like 98 miles, you better get your tank filled up or you're screwed. Because it's just desolate, you know? South Dakota is the same way. Actually, I'm speaking about South Dakota, but I think.
No, that's North Dakota too. And Tracy, right. Tracy, you should understand, the state food of North Dakota is mayonnaise.
To put on your white bread.
Hey, John's ears must have been burning when I was talking about him. He's here.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
What's going on, John?
So, yeah, no, I just...
Cat's got his tongue, I guess.
I'm still... Just the fact that is it every week, every other day that we get some, you know, between people not being able to vote, and now we can't even wait for AAA in front of your house because, you know, South Park Susan. It's just like, come the fuck on, white people.
Did you see crosswalk Crystal?
Oh, God.
Crosswalk Crystal.
What is it with these insecure white women? Why don't they just go up and punch the person instead of call the cops? I mean, come on.
Yeah, because somebody's going to swing back.
That's true. They're cowards. Yeah.
But in all seriousness, you know, I said it, you know, it's like waiting for the other shoe to drop, and the shoes are on the feet of a centipede. Okay, it's all shoes. Well, we have our fair share of fun on Friday on the front porch. God knows, I'm still waiting for the arrival of my shiny hiney, but. But in the wake of what happened in Pittsburgh last Saturday, the fact that today, in New York City, there were fires at seven different Hasidic Jewish institutions in one neighborhood in Brooklyn.
Oh my God!
And it all happened at about the same time that somebody spray-painted "Kill All Jews" inside a Reform synagogue in the same basic area.
Oh, jeez.
That's horrific. Reverend Wright was correct. The chickens have come home to roost, man.
Goddamn America is right, you know?
And it's all in the Williamsburg area of Brooklyn.
Huh. Jeez. Proud Boys related, you think, Bob? Or who knows?
Nazis.
All sorts of racist organizations out there.
But who's getting them stirred up? Who's firing them up? I mean, let's trace
them. It's not Trump. It's not his fault. Come on now.
Well, a member of the New York City Council, Stephen Levin, and a state senator by the name of Martin Dillon issued a joint statement. They said earlier this morning, NYPD's 90th precinct received reports of fires at seven different locations throughout South Williamsburg. The perpetrators set fires at local yeshivas and synagogues in the predominantly Hasidic community. Tragically, it would seem these types of attacks are becoming all too common. Words and speech are as real as any weapon, and I again call on the current administration to unequivocally denounce every and all hate groups. We need to do everything in our power to deny hate safe harbor, whether in Pittsburgh, Charleston, or here in Williamsburg, and I would add Jeffersontown, Kentucky. But Jesus. And if it's one guy or a group of guys, it really doesn't matter. Because it's a matter. Because it boils down to the hate demon being out of the bottle. And among other things, one of the synagogues was having a get out the vote effort, and that had to be canceled. So that's a pretty clear attempt at you know, suppressing political activity. In the last week alone, since the massacre in Pittsburgh, swastikas have been found graffitied in Brooklyn Heights and on the Upper West Side in Manhattan. An anti-Semitic license plate that was removed in Queens. A Jewish man was verbally threatened in the Crown Heights neighborhood of Brooklyn. And in that incident, the guy who was threatened, they threatened to stab him and repeated the phrase, "Kill all Jews." And we've got a president who not only won't do anything about it, but privately, probably tacitly approves.
So what does he think about his son-in-law and his daughter then? They're Jewish. You know?
Well, it doesn't matter. They're safe. Nobody, you know, they're protected. But he has to have that racist base that comprises the vast majority of the cancerous knot of dead enders that is the immovable maggots,
the deplorables. Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, this is almost like it's almost almost like America's Kristallnacht. I mean, this much activity at once, you know? I mean, if it were on a nationwide basis, then I would be, you know, I'm horrified as it is, but I mean, I would be even more horrified if it was happening. Maybe this happening nationwide. Who knows, Bob, you know?
Well, it's horrifying, it's terrifying, and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the history nerd that I am, and, you know, I invite you to chime in on this, I've been trying to figure out who in history can you draw a parallel to as far as presidents go. And I think I've finally landed on it. James Buchanan.
Mm.
You know, James Buchanan was president up until March of 1861. And he, although he was from Pennsylvania, he maintained a near and dear affinity for the South. And so consequently, even though he was the president, he dithered and did absolutely nothing between March of 1857 and March of 1861 to stem the inexorable move toward bloodshed, because he was afraid of losing his base in the South. Does that remind you of anybody?
Yeah, well, I guess the parallel is also eerie in that the Civil War occurred just as he was leaving office.
Well, it occurred as a direct reaction to the election of Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think states started to secede like just months after the election, even before Lincoln was sworn in, right?
Yeah.
Mistaken, yeah.
Well, I mean, Lincoln had to sneak into D.C. To be inaugurated.
Mm.
He literally he was in hiding as he came to D.C. because there was a full-on desire to assassinate him.
Wow.
And that's not me overemphasizing or exaggerating anything. It's all documented.
You don't hear about that in the history books, Bob. You hear about, you know, Lincoln coming from Illinois on a train and, you know, saying goodbye to his peeps, you know, in Illinois and going on to Washington, you know.
He went from Baltimore to D.C.
Oh, okay.
Tracy, you mentioned Oprah. Brother Deacon Asa just reminded me, did you hear what slimy, sleazy Mike Pencilneck Geek said about Oprah knocking on doors? Oprah should understand that this is Georgia. We don't kowtow to big city billionaires.
Really?
He's a Yankee. He's from Talibandiana, for God's sakes.
Like, exactly. That's what I'm like, wait, what? Oh, it's like, who was it? It's like Bobby Jindal. I mean, I don't know, was he born in Louisiana? But, you know, claiming to be a son of the South or some motherfucker. You, what is your real name?
Piyush.
And you, okay, thank you.
Yeah, he adopted the name Bobby because Bobby Brady was his favorite Brady.
No, seriously, that's a true story?
Yes. That's part of his personal origin myth.
I know these people. Anything to pay. But the thing is, just the fact, you know, it's frightening that, I mean, if Bobby Jindal had been anybody else but Bobby Jindal, him becoming governor of Louisiana would have been an amazing story. You know? But because of who he was and who he stands for, or what he stands for, he's just another damn maggot. You know, he's just another Republican who, you know, or these people of color, rather, who forget who they are, who seem to think that just because they're Republican or whatever, they're one of the good ones. And the country club set, the maggot set, and all these motherfuckers aren't thinking, aren't talking shit about them. And it's like they are so deluded. You're never going to get this, you know, they may let you into the club, but you're not going to get the secret, you're not going to get to learn the secret handshake shake. You know, you're not going to have full honors. You're not going to have full rights and privileges. They'll give you just enough of a crust of bread just to get, you know, just to keep you coming back and crumbs and make begging for more. But you're never going to be part of the club ever. Oh.
God, oh, and by the way, today in court in Kentucky, Gregory Bush, 51 years old, entered a not guilty plea to having murdered two people, a man and a woman, in the Kroger there in Jeffersontown, Kentucky. I mean, that's not, as Rick can tell you, you expect he would enter a not guilty plea. But, you know, Jesus.
Yeah, that's standard in any criminal case.
Vicki Jones was 67 years old when he blew her away.
Mm.
Apparently, he'll be back in court on January the 15th. Until then, he stays in jail. So apparently, no bail. Wow. White people don't kill other white people, he is alleged to have declared. Something, huh? By the way, 14 minutes before the hour, we started with $340 to raise, trying to finish off Shirley's challenge. We've still got $340 to raise. Hopefully that will diminish some so that we're not looking at, oh God, $540 come more in Monday. That's just too much.
Bob, can I step in?
You can step in anything you want to, but I, you know.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to make a challenge. I'm going to put down $25 and I'll double it to 50 as soon as somebody meets the 25. So
okay.
That'll get you a $75 reduction, hopefully, if that.
Yeah, that would knock down 75 out of 140 to finish off Shirley's challenge. So Rick's challenge does the challenge have the name? Is there a concert coming up? By the way, how was Willie Nelson?
Oh, tremendous, tremendous! Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a little bit. Let's call it the belated tax refund challenge. I finally filed my 2017 return in October and got my refund. So there you go.
Sounds good. So Billable Rick's tax refund challenge is on the table, on the clock. If somebody kicks in $25, Rick will kick in another $25. That'll make $75. That'll mean we will have only $65 to go on Shirley's challenge from last night and $200 to finish the evening. Hey, we can do that in an hour and 12 minutes, can't we?
Tell you what, Bob, we're going to make it even sweeter. If somebody meets my challenge in the next 12 minutes, I'll add $25 to the kitty to make it a $100 reduction.
Whoa. 12 minute, $25 in the next 12 minutes and bang, that's huge. And that would mean only $40 to go knocking down the challenge and, you know, keeping us away from a $540. Oh, my God, I don't want to start that this early in November. This early in the month.
Run that 12-minute thing by me again.
Okay, Billable Rick just said, okay, it was $25 challenge. When somebody meets it, he adds another $25. That makes it $75. But he'll make it $100 if somebody kicks in $25 in the next 11 minutes.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the clarification.
I'll do a total of $75, in other words, if... So I'll do 50 if it just gets met by the end of the program, but I'll do 75 if it gets met before the top of this hour, which I guess would be, what, 8 o'clock Eastern, right?
8 o'clock Eastern, 10,
that is correct,
10 minutes and 15 seconds away.
There you go. So you want to hear about Willie, Bob?
Yes.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I got there, I guess, a guy by the name of Particle Kid started the show. I don't know if Steve from Georgistan knows who that is. But I missed that part of the show because I didn't get to the show in time. But I mean, I was there early, but, you know, it was a festival. So it went from like 5 to like 10:30 or so at the Hollywood Bowl. And the second act was Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real. And boy, he has a tremendous voice when he...
Does he sound like his daddy?
When he's going for it, he sounds just like his daddy. It's amazing. Yeah, you could like close your eyes and say, okay, that was Willie Nelson in the 70s or whatever, you know, when Willie was younger, 70s or even 80s. And he's got the red hair that Willie has as well. And then after him, a lady performed, blonde lady. I'm trying to remember what her name was. I forget her name. And then a guy by the name of Sturgill Simpson played.
Oh, yeah.
Who is tremendous. Great guitarist, very unique voice, like, you know, in terms of uniqueness, I mean, I'd put him in the same category as a Dylan or a Petty or, you know, that kind of recognizable voice, Orbison, you know, that kind of thing. And he was tremendous. And then Phil Lesh and Friends came on.
What a hell of a show.
Yeah. I think Bob Weir was in the band with Phil. Bob did a lot of the singing. Yeah, it was a great show. They played for probably about an hour. Sturgill Simpson played for like about an hour. And then Willie was the final act, and he played about maybe 50 minutes or so. Yeah, he was tremendous. And guess whose Dodgers jersey Willie wore?
Who?
A real working man on the Dodgers. Just think, if you know the Dodgers lineup, maybe you don't, I don't know. I'll give you a hint. He's got red hair.
I'm a little Dodgers ignorant, I must confess.
Okay, does anyone know who on the Dodgers has red hair? Looks like a Viking. Justin Turner. Justin Turner. Yeah, he was wearing Justin Turner's jersey, which was perfectly fitting because Justin is a really nice guy, just kind of a regular guy. And, I mean, he's very accessible to all the fans and to, you know, media. You know, he'll just, like, do impromptu interviews after a game with media. But he's a really cool dude. But anyway, Willie, he played Roll Me Up and Smoke Me when I'm Dead. That was a good one. And he also did the song Go Vote or whatever it's called. You know, if you don't like the guys you have, vote them out. I think you played that as one of your bumpers, Bob, recently.
I don't think that was me, but I agree with the sentiment.
Maybe it was Malloy. And then of course, he did On the Road Again. And his son, of course, joined him for his part of the act as well. So it was a lot of fun. I brought Star with me, and then my son was there, as was Star's son and his girlfriend. So it was a lot of fun. We had a good time. We had a real good time. So the Outlaw Country Festival 2018, the very last show of the tour, that was two Sundays ago.
Wow.
Yeah. I know if John's listening, he's probably eating his heart out. he's probably telling me, shut up, Rick.
No, he's not listening. He's working on fixing his microphone right now.
Oh, bummer. Yeah. I imagine some horn listeners are probably saying, okay, Rick, stop telling us how to go to concerts.
Stop telling us how to enjoy Willie Nelson, Rick.
my next show on the horizon, Bob, is the British blues legend John Mayall.
Ooh.
He's playing at a small club in Pasadena called The Rose, I think on the 17th, on Saturday the 17th. And then Fleetwood Mac, I'm debating whether to go to that one. I've seen him before, but I don't think
I'm hearing that's a hell of a show.
The Fleetwood Mac?
Yeah.
Maybe I should go then. Yeah,
Of course, no Lindsay, because Lindsay got mad. In fact, it was our pal Joy, whose son went to see it and said it was a great show up in Michigan.
Okay.
But Lindsay's not there because there's a squabble, because if it's Fleetwood Mac, there's always a squabble.
Yeah, I guess Stevie refuses to be on the same stage as him. They had some kind of a argument of some sort. Who knows? You know, I guess the egos like touched each other and they suddenly, you know,
matter, antimatter sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I told you about the $16 show that I got to see with Lindsay Buckingham at the Orpheum in downtown LA, like a 2000 seat theater. That was great. The new incarnation of Mac, I guess I've heard some good things about that too. Is it, one of the guys from the Heartbreakers, was it John Campbell or what's his name? I think I have his first name wrong. Is it Dave Campbell or, you know, the guy who played guitar for Tom and did backup vocals and such. He's part of the band now. I should probably see them. They're at the Forum on the 11th. And then on, I think the first or second Sunday in December, Stevie Wonder announced he's doing his annual House Full of Toys concert at the Staples Center in downtown L.A. Maybe Tracy wants to join me for that, the 9th of December. What do you think, Tracy?
The 9th of December?
Yeah. Maybe we could do a double date. You could meet my girl and I could meet yours.
Jan's not gonna do it. But
no.
That was quick. I mean, that was almost as fast as no interest in going to North Dakota, Tracy. Jan's not gonna do it.
Well, no. See, here's the, because I just saw, remember back in August I was in Vegas and I went and saw Stevie Wonder in Vegas. Jan came with us. Vegas, but she's like, she's like, I like Stevie, but not enough to sit in the concert. But that concert was great, even though Stevie,
you went by yourself to the Wonder concert. It was my family. Vegas?
It was my aunt's birthday.
Oh, okay.
And so we had a whole, we pretty much, it was like 10 of us at the concert, and we had the whole row.
Okay.
Much. We were at the Park Theater in the new Park MGM Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very nice theater. It's a very nice theater. And as a matter of fact, because Lady Gaga is going to start her residency there next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where she's going to be playing.
Okay. Yeah, I guess Aerosmith is doing a residency next, I want to say, is it March and April?
Is that what we call it now when you play Vegas? It used to just be called Playing Vegas.
Well, no, when they say when it's a residency, they're there for like a for months.
For at least a month usually. Yeah, you know why they call it a residency, Bob? As these performers get older, they don't want to have to be out on the road every night in a different city, so they can just play Vegas like every other night or something like that, you know?
Yeah, they play like the shows. They play it's like going to the theater. They basically play like Tuesday through Sunday in some cases.
Right.
You know, depending on who it is. So like Celine Dion had her residency there. Elton John, Jennifer Lopez had one, and mm-hmm. Who else? Britney Spears.
Britney Spears.
No, just,
I'm sorry.
Just couldn't resist, could you?
Wasn't she in one of the Austin Powers movies? Wasn't she one of the
Fembots?
Ladies who was shooting.
Yeah, the Fembots. No.
She was a Fembot, right? Yeah, okay.
You're taking me to some place that I actually paid attention to something like that. You know, there's only so much, you know.
Tracy, I have never heard you bring so much ennui to a single program.
I have my moments. The Mets are working this week, so.
So here's a thing. This is kind of fun. It's kind of a speculation game, and it's a game I call, how the fuck do you run up a $100,000 tab for 6 hours in a hotel in Cairo?
Excuse me, what?
The name of the game is, how the fuck do you run up a $100,000 tab for a six-hour stay in a hotel in Cairo?
How?
I don't know, but Melanoma did. You remember when she made her colonial tour through the continent of Africa, in which she showed up in her white pith helmet and, well, basically did her whole Indiana Jones Belloc shtick. Yeah, she spent 6 hours in a hotel in Cairo, and we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, had to cough up near $100,000 for those 6 hours. Can you imagine, and this is another game, can you imagine
how Michelle Obama,
if Michelle Obama had run up a $100,000 tab, well, I mean, I know at the end, well, you know, Bob, those six hours, it would have been over on Fox News. Michelle Obama spends 6 hours in a hotel in Cairo meeting with the Muslim Brotherhood, passing out $100,000 of your taxpayer money.
Yeah, right.
Vanity Fair broke the story, and they said, it's unclear how the First Lady and her staff racked up the bill at the hotel where rooms, because see, you know, it's a little dangerous in Egypt, but for God's sakes, it's Egypt, okay? It's like the mother of civilization. It's the mother of civilization and shit.
I got it, Bob. Threw an orgy. They threw an orgy. That's why it costs so much.
Be best. The thing is, it's a little dangerous over there, but you can get kind of a break. Because it wasn't a shitty hotel, but based on the value of the dollar versus the value of the, what is it, piaster, dinar, I don't know. The hotel rooms there, and remember, she's only there for 6 hours. The hotel rooms there range maybe they were billing by the hour.
Maybe by the minute.
Well, players. That's what I was going to say. You know, melanoma is probably no stranger to that, and just leave the money on the dresser. But the rooms go between $119 to $700. $700 a night is the presidential suite at the Intercontinental Semiramis Hotel.
Jeez.
But she didn't stay overnight.
Yeah, 6 hours.
$100,000.
It must cost more on an hourly basis.
Was
Bob,
she standing there at the counter playing $1,000 scratch off tickets or something? I did what?
was she doing you know, shots from the top shelf and buying around for everybody? What the fuck?
In a Muslim country, no less. Yeah,
maybe that's it.
Maybe the shots of vodka are $50,000 a shot or something, because, you know, Egypt.
Well, maybe she bought a whole case of Pappy Van Winkle and had everybody do shots with her.
That's it, because Pappy Van Winkle is really expensive, right?
Yeah, she must have been drinking the Pappy through a damn straw.
That's right. Oh, jeez.
Oh my fucking God!
Maybe she bought a pith helmet. I don't know. It's very expensive. I know. Yes.
It's just. Oh my God. It makes my head hurt.
Now, by the way, the currency is the Egyptian pound. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa.
Oh, what's the exchange rate of that, Bob? So we can have you do some ciphering.
I refuse to cipher, but. I'll bet your Brother Deacon Asa is on it. By the way, going back to Fleetwood Mac for a minute, Alexander said that was Mike Campbell from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and Neil Finn
right.
of Crowded House.
Right.
Those are the
right.
new members. And he said, I love the Mac. No slight against Campbell and Finn. They're great in their own right. But how do you really have the Fleetwood Mac without Lindsey Buckingham? He was only the central songwriter, producer, lead vocalist, and the determining factor in the highly successful musical direction of the band. So sad to see all the senseless drama in the band, just like in Van Halen. Egos get to clashing, and as the quality of the music eventually goes into the crapper. See Fleetwood Mac's Time CD, 1995, and Van Halen's 3 of 1998. Yeah, right. Those were not the high point. Oh, and it's 5 minutes past the hour. I have to Rick, your challenge got met.
Oh, good.
And it worked out. It worked out very, very well. Your challenge got met, and then the rest of Shirley's challenge got met. I had a note from Ralph saying, come on, make me pony up my part of the challenge. So that got met. And
okay. So
just
it's 75. So it's 75 for me then.
You're on the hook for $75, right?
Okay.
Randy and PA met the challenge. Hung Like Jesus met the challenge. Jack in Shreveport met the challenge. I'm doing some ciphering here, so you got to bear with me. It's real painful. It hurts a lot. carry the 12.
When you're done with that, I think Steve Pippinger has a election prediction, Bob.
Okay. So that's. Dave jumped in.
Math, you guys.
Dave in Taliban, Deanna jumped in and said, tell Rick I'm in. Consider it my anti-pencil neck geek donation. So I got some. Colin jumped in to meet the challenge and meet a big portion of this evening. So thank you, Colin. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Stephen. Steve from North Carolina. And Steve from Georgistan says, Anatole wants you to know he's in. He's back. He's in. So, you know what? As it turns out, we've met all but $50 of everything we had to do this evening.
Woohoo!
So there's no $550 cliff for Monday, Bob?
Right. At worst, it's a $250, but we can, if we knock out the other $50, we're done with the week, or at least we're done with the first 2 days of November. And that provides a little bit of breathing room so that, I don't sit around flipping out all weekend, because that happens. Okay. Here's the exchange rate. apparently if I understand Brother Deacon Asa correctly, melanoma's tab in Egypt was the equivalent of 1.8 million Egyptian pounds.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, I feel
sorry for her, Bob. It's so expensive for her to just survive and live. I mean, geez.
How does she handle it, you guys?
How does she handle it with being married to a bankrupt dude, you know?
No, this ain't working.
Hey, John, I heard you.
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, I'm still hearing you. Yeah.
This ain't working.
It is working.
It's working.
Take that away. That's it. Y'all can hear me?
We hear you real good.
Yes. Oh, man. Well, I'm back to my old iPad. I'm having trouble with my Mac, and it won't. I could hear y'all. I just couldn't. My Mac, it's not. Anyway, my microphone wasn't working on the Mac, so I don't know what it is. So I done missed everything.
No, okay. You didn't.
Yeah, you got an hour left.
What you no, to be fair, what you missed, and I hate that you did, John, is you missed Billable Rick rubbing in what an awesome time it was seeing Willie at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, Rick can kiss my butt. He does this every time. Usually, at least, he has the decency to wait till the end of the show.
But roll me up and smoke me when I'm dead.
That's right, buddy. That's right. Roll me up and smoke me when I'm gone. I'm sorry. I'm an island out here now, Bob. I'm an island.
Are you really?
Yes, sir. Rivers up. Roads cut off.
Oh, jeez.
Are your donkey and your goat safely dry?
Well, they are right now. If it continues to rise, my kids and I are right in the middle. We're almost done building an elevated stall underneath my house.
Jeez.
I built a floor up about 3 feet off the deck, off the ground, and put walls around it, and I'm building the ramp to lead up to it right now. So in case it gets up that high, we can put them up there in them stalls. And
where does this round of flooding stand in the greater scheme of things, John?
I've been through two previous floods here. One of them came up to about 31 feet, which put about a foot of water underneath my house. The record is 32.5, which puts about 2.5 feet of water under my house.
So what is it now, Ben?
Right now we're at 28 feet in the under the house is still dry.
Okay, John, I have an idea.
Yes, sir.
You know, I know some producers out here, and since you say you're on an island, we could do maybe a Survivor Season 11 Texas edition.
Hey, there you go, baby. Line them up. Where's the competition at? Where's the luxury competition?
It'll be the maggots against the normal people.
Oh, we win, baby. We win.
Hey, Uncle.
We have to do is look over there at them and point to the sky and say, look. And when they all look, we'll go win the competition.
Hey, Uncle John.
Yeah.
You missed a rousing conversation about septic tanks at the beginning of the show.
Oh,
I know
shit.
You hate that.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Let's don't talk about that right now. That's going to be something I'm going to deal with after the flood.
Yeah. Just didn't want you to miss that on the shitty fun, you know.
Yes, it's a shitty time down here right now.
No,
I'll tell you what. This is I've said it to just about every worker they've sent down here. They put a barrier up down there at the road. This is not a natural disaster. This is a man-made disaster. We had a major rainfall in our watershed about a month ago, about 3 weeks ago or so, and you can go online and look at the river graphs all up and down this river. And everybody that lives on this river goes there and looks, and we can tell exactly how high the river is anywhere on this river. And we could all see this water coming down. And the people at the lake who control the dam, instead of releasing water to lower the lake level to be able to accept the water, they wait until it's totally full and then try to open all the gates and let the water out. So it's a stupidity factor going on here. I lose everybody?
No, you didn't.
I'm just being so damn boring. Everybody got quiet.
No, we're respectful around here. But speaking of stupid people in Texas, I got one for you, John.
Oh, point him out, please.
Her.
Alrighty.
Yes, her. Her name is Jennifer Staubach Gates. Okay.
Jennifer Staubach Gates.
Yes. And
what did she say?
She sits on the Dallas City Council.
Oh,
and
Yankee Land.
And apparently she's been thinking about running for, did you just say Dallas is Yankee Land?
Anything north of San Antonio, buddy.
Wait a minute.
Oh, jeez.
It's the Mason. It's the Mason Dallas line.
You take a look at the panhandle and follow a line all the way across. You're up in Virginia or somewhere over there.
So apparently she's been thinking about wanting to be mayor of Dallas. And it was Halloween, so of course everybody got to get dressed up. And
what
did she dress up as?
Well, She posted on Facebook or one of the other social, I don't know what. Halloween fun started at the Mayor's Monster Mash work party, which included the best margarita in Dallas, lime, tequila, and salt. And,
it's Kimball.
She showed up wearing a sombrero. And a placard around her neck that was apparently either the lime or the salt. The other two people she was with were the tequila and either the lime or the salt. A big sombrero and a big black Mexican mustache.
Well, how culturally appropriate, huh?
Wait a minute.
Stupid. Are you shitting me? You know, they're just tone deaf. They're tone deaf. They don't know shit. Did you see that guy that dressed his kid up as Hitler and he dressed up like some Nazi asshole?
Yeah, we actually went into that in some depth, and I haven't seen any follow-up on it, but I can't believe that that was just an impromptu thing that just, you know, what was I thinking?
Yeah, yeah, what were they thinking? You know, it's these kind of people that do something like that, you know, who was that, Megyn Kelly? Blackface is okay. No, it's not, Megan. You know, you're stupid. That's how come she lost her show walking out with a big paycheck, I guess, but...
You know, my dad, like 40 years ago at a country club event or a party, wore blackface. But that was like 40 years ago. That was in the 70s. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
that's like,
no, and even it was probably inappropriate then, but we didn't know.
Yeah, it was inappropriate.
You
bullshit.
I can't. No. See, I caught bullshit on that play. It was inappropriate, but we didn't know. Fuck that.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right, Tracy. I take that back. Sorry, everybody, no, I've never gone in blackface. I've never seen anybody I know go in blackface.
Thank you. So when people say, oh, you know, it was just like, oh, you know, well, when I was a kid, bitch, please. That's, you know, and that's when I keep saying when I stop saying.
Well, you're right.
Bitch.
I stand corrected.
Bitch, please. Because when, yeah. I mean, people have known blackface was inappropriate since blackface started.
From the beginning. From
jump.
Yes.
It was just that people didn't get called out on it. See, that's what you said.
Well, what I meant to insinuate is this is 2018. If you're not culturally adapted by now, you know.
You ain't never going to be.
You ain't never going to be. You don't want to be.
Well, I think there is an element of difference here. There's knew it was wrong back in the day, did it anyway, because maybe it was perceived to be a safe environment, you know what I mean? You know, at the country club, that kind of thing. Yeah. In 2018, if you're doing blackface, brownface, cultural appropriation, if you're the governor of Oklahoma's daughter and you're running around in a so-called Native American war bonnet, you know that shit is wrong, and that is why you're doing it.
That's right. That's right.
Wait, no, Bob, you got to do it right. You know that shit is wrong, and you should not be doing it.
That's a whack with every syllable.
Wait, did I miss? Tracy, I missed a beat there.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right, Tracy.
I'm a white guy.
Yeah. No. It was.
You know that shit was wrong, and you should not be doing it. Period.
Right.
When white people say, "Well, I didn't realize," or "I don't know," "Oh, I'm sorry if I offended you," no, I, you know, like somebody was trying to get into it with me about Megyn Kelly, and I'm like, again, it's 2018. You know, yeah. I might even cut you a smidgen of slack if it hadn't been the 90s. Not even the 90s.
Going back to the Megyn Kelly thing, it was okay if you were a kid and you were a character. Well, just what little black character were you, Megyn?
Were you?
Yes.
Were you like midget Aunt Jemima?
Were you Uncle Remus? It's like, were you a tar baby? Bitch, what?
Well, you know.
There you go, Tracy.
It started with somebody in that house that said, "Oh, that's fine." You know, even in the younger days. You know, my parents, the worst we ever did was a bum. As a matter of fact, that was pretty much a staple in our house. Everybody went as a bum. It's easy to do.
Little charcoal for the little charcoal stipple for the beard, and
that's right. And overgrown clothes.
And a stick with a bandana on the end of it.
And who cared what you went as then, because we was out to get candy, and back in them days, we came home with loads, baby.
Hey, by the way, Steve is enjoying a Russian stout at one of his favorite bars in Manhattan, I think, and wanted to be sure to say hi to Tracy. he also says, does anybody remember the restaurant called Sambo's? That shit was 80s.
Yes.
Yes, wait a minute. Remember that.
Oh, way, sorry, he's in the Bronx. Sorry,
there's
Steve.
There's still a Sambo's. Hey, Rick, did you know there's still a Sambo's in up by Santa Barbara?
Is there? Jeez.
Is there? Actually, it's the original Sambo's, and they still have. Yep. I you know, because I used to go to Sambo's.
Yeah.
Because it was like Denny's. And yeah. So I was like, wait a minute. Sambo's? Really, guys?
Yeah. Here's one other thing that's coming back from my memory. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, Tracy, that you would see these, like, you know, like these statues that were like these servants, like with blackface and shit. They looked kind of like jocks, you know, in front of houses and shit.
Yes.
It wasn't that long ago. It was maybe 15 years ago at the most.
Lawn jockeys.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's very subtle, you know, and not so subtle, actually. But, you know, you get used to seeing kind of certain shit, and it's like, after a while, you realize that's fucking inappropriate.
Ever, speaking of inappropriate cultural things.
Yeah.
So I was in Cambria a couple of years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
My mom and I and Jan, it was my mom's birthday, so we did, you know, Hearst Castle, the Madonna Inn, all that. And so we're working, you know, Half Moon Bay, and so we're California all my life, but I've never really explored the Central Coast. So, you know, I planned out this trip. So on our way back, we stopped in Cambria, and there was a antique shop. So not that I'm an antique person, but it was, you know, there's not much to do in Cambria. So I walked in, and in this on display were all these, you know, blackface, you know, the Aunt Jemima cookie jars and some pepper shakers. And the white woman, when I walked in, I looked at, because they were further back in the store. It wasn't like right when you walked in, but it was, you know, kind of far back in the store. And it was a whole huge display. Well, I walked in and looked at her, looked at that stuff, and then looked at her, and then looked back at the stuff. I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? Wow.
Well, now, Tracy, correct me if I'm wrong. But isn't there a subgroup of, like, African-American men and women who are, like way deep into collecting that stuff?
Uh-huh. Yes, they are. But, see, this was a white woman. So she wasn't catering to the African-American population of Cambria, because there's no African-American population. Not to say that there's no black people in Cambria, but I'm pretty sure not many. I wish I had had the money, because it was expensive. But if I had the money, I would have bought every single piece in there.
Just to get it off the market.
Just to get, you know, just to say, okay. But, yeah, I actually have, when I went, I have some black, I had a couple of Aunt Jemima pieces. But that's because it's my culture. And it's like taking back my culture. It's like when, you know, gay people take back, you know, the word queer. They're like, fine, call me queer, whatever. I'm taking that back, because I'm claiming that word and using it as my superpower. And it's the same thing as, you know, me buying, you know, Aunt Jemima's cookie jars and, you know, blackface cookie jars and stuff like that. But that, you know, and had I walked into that shop and had the owner been an African American woman, I would have said good job, sis, or whatever. But still, but even still. But it wasn't in the African American community, because see, you have a white woman in a predominantly, you know, upper middle class part of Central Culture California. So I know that whoever buys that the chances of it, somebody being black buying it, is about as close as me ever becoming a blonde haired blue eyed white girl. So it was problematic for me, and she knew that it was problematic for me. And I just looked at her and just walked out. And I was seething, because I'm like, really? Really? I just shook my head and walked out. And my mom, because my mom was with me, and she's like, what's wrong? And I told her, and she's like, Jan kind of got it, but I was undone. It's just like, and actually it was a few years back in Essence Magazine, they had a whole article
just about what you talk about how, you know, there's a culture of black people that buy that stuff. Because, you know, just to reclaim, you know, what is it? What did Maxine Waters say? I'm reclaiming my time. Or was that Maxine Waters? Yes.
Yeah. And so just a trivia note, Ron in Raleigh is reminding me, Sambo's and that original one that you're talking about is the very one. It grew into a big chain and then went all to pieces, but
went to hell.
But was actually the name of the place came from the two proprietors, Sam and Bo.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, it meant for derogatory, but then again, they have very questionable artwork in the restaurants.
I remember it was a little, yeah.
So because this is a laugh, now, once upon a time, things were a little more edgy. In terms of like Saturday Night Live, you remember the old word association between Chevy Chase and Richard Pryor.
That was pretty awesome.
But we brought up Aunt Jemima, and that immediately called this to mind.
Yeah, beautiful day. Well, isn't that right, little fella? Let me ask you a question. Oh. You like drinking? Well, you like drinking. Who the hell don't? Well, if you like me, you like to get bent just as fast as possible. That's why I'm proud to introduce to you Uncle Jemima's Pure Mash Liquor. I'm Uncle Jemima. You probably know my wife, Aunt Jemima, the pancake lady. Now, she says that selling booze is degrading to our people. I always say that black folk ain't exactly swelling up with pride on account of you flipping flapjack.
But what makes it is the visual, because they use the Disney. You remember Song of the South?
Yeah, yes. The movie that they don't show anymore.
For very good reason. But
it
had the little animated birds and shit flying around Uncle Remus's head.
Yes.
Well, there's a moment there where the birds are flying around him, and it's obvious he's seeing them, and his buddy who's playing checkers with him doesn't. And he's like, you know, batting the fucking birds away. And, you know, probably the best part of it all is that Tracy Morgan plays Aunt Jemima.
Wow.
But, you know... Pure Mash Liquor.
I my first 2 years at Northwestern, the maintenance guy at the all male dormitory that I lived in was a very nice African American gentleman, and he reminded me a little bit of Uncle Remus, because I would always be hurrying around. You know, we were going from point to point and rushing to get classes, and his name was Maurice, a great guy. And he would say, take it easy, young fella, take it easy. You know, just a real, you know, kind of an older gentleman, but very nice and, you know, very, very endearing, let's just say. But, you know, anyway, I don't know if that was apropos of anything.
How did we get here? By the way, an update, Megan's not in the room this evening, but you may recall she was asking about menu options for her Samhain dinner, and I saw earlier in the chat room that she fixed up the pork loin, so I'll bet you that turned out to be some kind of fantastic.
Ooh. I wonder if she, who was that? Tracy, you asked about a recipe. What?
No, what's that? No, I have, I'm...
That was Megan.
Oh, was that Megan?
Yeah.
Okay. All righty.
I think Larry is in the room here.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, he's trying to be. Well, anyway, can I give you all a 9-ball update?
Nine-ball? Yes.
Yeah, I just did played
the 9-ball. No, first, did they level the floor and the table, or are you still playing 9-ball on a hill?
It's a pretty good table now. Yeah, it's pretty flat. The team I'm on, like, we have a lot of good players, and a teammate of mine was first in nine ball. I was second, and there was another teammate who was third. And this is like among the whole league. So there's probably like, 16 to 30 people below us in terms of the stats. And this is for the MVP, and my teammate lost. The number one guy lost, and the number three guy lost. And then we were down like 6 points heading into the last match, and I pulled it out. I was able to win. And I'm now first place in the league in nine ball.
Outstanding, Rick.
I've won like 68% of the possible points. The most points you can get in any single nine ball game is like 20. And I'm like averaging like maybe 13.68 per match. I've won seven out of eight now.
They call him Nine Ball Slim.
Nine Ball Slim. He ain't got another feather to stick in his hat. Awesome.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I guess more importantly, the team is also in first. So we've won all like 10 of our matches, but the second place team is only like 9 points behind us, and we beat them by like 8 points when we faced them like maybe in the third or fourth game of the season. So it's going to go right down to the wire. And I'm telling my teammates that our motto for the coming week, the coming Wednesday, is no mercy for the other team, you know.
There you go.
Lawrence of Arabia, you know. So I don't know if they all understood it. They're like, I think there's one or two guys older than me on the team, but I'm up there, you know. I guess I could be. I'm over 55, so I could be AARP, right, Bob?
Yep.
Absolutely. And by the way, you mentioned Lawrence of Arabia. I saw one of those things on social media the other day that said, "What was the catch line, or what was the tagline for the movie that was number one when you were born?"
Oh,
and I looked it up, and lo and behold, it was from Lawrence of Arabia.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah. Well, let's.
Let me
update us real quick. Thanks very kindly to Libby. We have $25 to go to finish, and we'll be all caught up from yesterday and today. So nothing to sweat on Monday. $25 to go. Thank you very much, Libby. So
I think John's trying to get in.
Yeah, I thought I heard John there.
John Forrest.
Yeah.
Hey guys, what's up?
What's happening, John?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Not too much. I wanted to tell you guys, share my experiences as a paid canvasser for Jess King here in Pennsylvania 11th District.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, that poll that was out a while ago that said 53% of Republicans want single payer or health Medicare for all?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's for real. That is absolutely for real. I mean, we have turned so many Republican voters to vote for her because of the health care issue. The way the one guy put it to me, he said either government stay out of my health care or just pay for it. He's like, and clearly they're not going to stay out of it. So you might as well just pay for it, you know, and that's the way one of them put it. And, you know, I'm seeing a lot of Republican voters that are just saying, yeah, I'm going to vote for her. And, you know, a lot of Republican women, you know, that are just, especially the ones that are 50 and older, that are just like, this is crazy what's going on. And Jess's opponent, Lloyd Smucker, who's his first term in Congress, we're told by some of his staffers that he doesn't personally like Donald Trump, but he goes along with everything Trump wants him to say, and is accusing, the right wing is accusing Democrats of cutting Social Security and Medicare. They're saying they want to cut your Social Security and Medicare, and they're saying this on a debate stage, man. You know what I mean? In front of how many people? And it's a blatant lie. And it just goes to show the lengths that they'll go to lie. And I don't know if
that's
it's
what they do. They lie, cheat, and steal. That's all they do. They don't have anything to offer. Profit care. They don't push health care. They push profit care.
Yeah, they got that's nothing to offer. Yeah. All they can do is fucking lie and try to misrepresent your positions. You know?
Exactly. And I'll tell you another thing. The more they talk about the economy, the worse their poll numbers get. So what happens is one guy said, I'm so sick of hearing about how great the economy is when I can't even put food on my table.
There you go. I don't know who the hell he's up there preaching at when he starts putting that shit out there. I don't see it down here, baby.
The radio here in West Virginia is dominated by a right-wing corporation and right-wing corporations, but there's one that has reach all around the state, and they keep saying, well, you know, things are getting much better for West Virginia, and I'm like, where?
Where? Yeah.
I mean...
That's the line they're selling.
Okay, maybe, I don't know, maybe this is a benchmark, maybe it's not. Back in 2016, a Bojangles opened across the river in Fayetteville. I've never heard of a Bojangles failing. Well, this Bojangles closed down yesterday, or day before. So it's no Jangles.
Oh, yeah.
It's no Jangles. And granted, we've got a really cool little foodie culture over in Fayetteville, but the people who are going to, you know, it's not like they got drowned out by Secret Sandwich or Pies and Pints. But really, you can't keep a Bojangles going in West Virginia? So,
right?
Let me ask you, John, just because I'm abundantly curious, is there anybody saying, you know, Jesus, I really wish I hadn't voted for him in the first place?
I haven't gotten that yet because we don't talk about him at all. I did have a few people mention him vaguely, but a lot of times the conversations are very, very short. So, like, I've only been doing it for about a week and a half now. So, other people that I've canvassed with or that are on the canvassing team did say that, though. They did say that there's people that say, I regret voting for that idiot. But I talked to a lot of Republicans that just are very appalled by him, especially some of the older Republican women. You know, I had two Republican women. One was in her 50s and the other one was in her 80s, and it was, you know, mother and daughter. And the one lady said, I've been voting Republican my whole life. And she said, and I this last presidential election, I couldn't do it. I couldn't vote for that man. And you know, it's – but I haven't heard anybody say anything about regrets yet, but – but they are out there. People on our canvassing team did have that conversation with some people. But this is more of a get out the vote sort of effort. So I'm basically mainly talking to people that we've already indicated support before. Sometimes there's persuasion going on every now and then because they'll have new voters on our list that might be living with a Democrat or might be a Republican woman. Like, the Democratic Party correctly made a calculation that older Republican women aren't happy with Trump and the Republicans. And at first, when they told me this in my training, I thought, don't listen to the Democratic Party. You know what I mean? But it's true. Whoever made that calculation was correct. It is absolutely true. And but as far as regrets for Trump, I haven't had that conversation yet.
Well, you probably don't want to. I was just wondering if anybody was volunteering it.
No, not really. Like I said, the conversations are pretty damn short, and it's mostly concentrated on the actual candidate herself.
Now, are you working? Are you working a township, city, whatever? Or are you working rural stuff?
All of it. I was in Lancaster City last week, over in Lancaster County, And this week I'm doing basically the rural parts of York County. And there's, I mean, her signs are everywhere, man. Everywhere. Way more than there was Trump signs, you know. And because people, they're ready for it, man. But to be on the other hand, there's some incumbent Democrats that are probably going to be in trouble, because I'm sensing a real need and yearn to kick out the incumbents. It's an incumbent beware kind of election. You know what I mean? And,
well, I think some of the Democrats have already proven that. You know, we've had progressive young ones come up and unseat a seated Democrat. You know, so yeah. that would tend to mean true that, you know, people are wanting something progressive. They're tired of this bullshit. I keep repeating it. We don't have any high-speed rail here. You know, what the hell? You know, we should be a lot farther along
you know,
in this country.
And just to fall back on what we were already talking about, you don't have any fucking health care there either.
No.
And the thing is, I don't know if people are figuring it out. In some of the places where you would hope that they were figuring it out the quickest, like Alabama, where hospitals are shutting down left and right, the only thing that saved those little hospitals in West Virginia is the Medicaid. I mean, because, you know, on a comparison basis, we've got hospitals that would be closed down here, too, if it weren't for the fact that we have the expanded Medicaid. Alabama doesn't. They're
you
losing a little.
Anybody want to give up their Medicaid or Medicare? So say, I don't like this. I want to get rid of it. No, you don't hear that.
Hell no.
I'd be bankrupt without Medicare.
There you go. And as it's, you know, as they project, sure. The amount of taxes you pay would probably be less than the amount of the health care that you're having to pay for now.
Oh, health care costs have just gone.
It's
totally
ridiculous.
It's
profit
insane.
Care. I hate to have this whole conversation insane, about health care, because we don't have health care.
Huh?
All these laws are passed and mumbled and jumbled around over there on the right for one thing, and that's to keep insurance companies in business and making money so we can pay the insurance companies so they can decide whether or not they want to help your ass. You know, I don't understand the whole system. You know, that we pay into an insurance company, and then they sit up there on their ass and decide whether or not they're going to let your ass live.
Yeah. But it's a full tilt boogie, Uncle John. It's full circle. Yeah. What the physicians and everybody, the surgeons, what they're charging is just astronomical.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to make this.
Either we're a benevolent nation or we're not. Yeah. You know, all this talk about what America is and what it should be, you can chalk it all up to a bunch of bullshit if we don't follow through on those ideals.
One infusion.
Like every other nation in the world, healthcare is a right. Because if it's not a right, it's a matter of, well, you got enough money? Because if you don't, get your ass out of here.
Here's an example.
Down the street, go get in line.
Here's an example. One long-term infusion. I'm talking one day. It's an infusion that lasted, had a half-life of 10 days. So you're looking at about 20 days it's in your system. $7,000.
Are you shitting me?
No, sir. I am not. And
see,
I can
this
give
kills
you...
me even when I go yeah. to my local drug. Oh, I'm sorry, my local drugstore.
Trash.
To pick up a prescription, because I do. I have Blue Cross Blue Shield, plus I have Medicare. My prescription
it
cost me about
floor.
$10.
I was still going through it.
And I hear somebody in front of me paying for a prescription, and the lady says, "Well, that'll be $300 and something." Are you shitting me? I couldn't make it paying that much.
Yeah, well, this was going to the clinic and getting hooked up and having the infusion. It took about 3 hours, but still, $7,000 for a three-hour procedure? Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I have a cousin right now who is on a heart transplant list. He goes on and off the list constantly because he either gets an infection, they take him off the list, put him back on the list, and they have to. He has to keep working because if he loses his job, he loses his insurance. You know,
and then you're
screwed. But you know what? You're bringing up an important point, because as we contemplate Medicare for all, there needs to be a fold in of some sort of prescription coverage, because, you know, I can't. Well, I mean, if there was a seven, you know, just wouldn't happen. But
was you talking about, Bob, when you was talking about the 400 and some odd people that control everything in this country? When we had that discussion, talking about the Congress, the Senate, and all that. Those are who set the damn prescription drug prices. When it comes right down to it, they're the ones that set it because they could pass law to put a control on that shit. Nobody pays these prices anywhere in the world except us. Bend over here, no Vaseline, you know, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know,
and just on it, you know, just on a fair, on a simpler front, you know, I take a blood pressure pill and I take a pill to manage triglycerides and a statin, and I take a pill to, keep me from, you know, an acid reducer.
Well, damn, Bob, you're just a pill popper, ain't you?
I am. I guess, and those four, and then plus what I pay out for my, son, are $400 a month. And that's no coverage and straight pay. And we use the pharmacy over at the hospital because there's a little bit of a price break there.
I couldn't afford that, Bob.
I
couldn't afford that. It's not in my budget. Thank goodness right now one of my sons is still, he's 24, so he's still on my insurance for a couple more years. And but the other one, he's 27 now.
And, you know, from where I am, the problem, and you know, something like Medicare for All would address this. I am ostensibly, and you know, I'm trying to figure out how this works out, too rich for Medicaid.
Yeah.
But I'm too poor for for-profit insurance under the ACA marketplace.
And as a result, you suffer horribly from stomach issues from time to time, Bob. Always waiting for the next shoe to drop. Shouldn't be that way, man.
I live in constant fear of it, Steve.
Well, here's the Republican answer to that, Bob.
Die.
I'll pray for you, buddy.
Yeah, I'll pray for you.
Thoughts and prayers, baby.
I've been through
it. Night stomach will be all healed up there, and don't worry.
I've been through it twice now. Okay. They say, well, no, you don't qualify for the ACA subsidies. We're referring you over for Medicaid. And then Medicaid contacts me and says, fuck you.
What a wonderful world we live in.
And there's a potential solution, but it prices you right out of the fucking ballgame, man.
Well, and see, this is one of those rare instances where Donald Trump has told a half truth. Most of the time, it's just an outright lie.
Well, you know, he said he tells the truth when he can.
But he said, you know, the Democrats will end Medicare. Well, wrong voice. The Democrats will end Medicare as we know it. Well, you know what? That's true. Because Medicare for All will expand Medicare beyond that age 65 threshold.
Yes, sir.
But it will also result, and shame on the millionaire media outlets that don't report this. It winds up, you know, it's an astronomical number, yes, but it's actually a lower number than what we're paying now. See, I remember all the way back to 2004 when Dennis Kucinich was saying, we pay enough money now for health care to cover every American in the country, but we only cover about 50 or 60% of them.
That's the profit margin there, Bob, sneaking right in there. You think that's these CEOs are cheap?
That's a lot of that's a lot of damn lobster lunches, John.
Well, these guys, they require that shit, you know.
Bob, I don't understand something. I was just talking with my mayor, Christine, this mayor, was walking home with him. We live in the same neighborhood, and I was mentioning, we were talking about Prop 10, which is going to supposedly going to roll the rent law back to what it was 20 years ago, and allow cities and counties to enact their own rent ordinances, or, you know, to regulate rents. And he was saying that right now, at any time any landlord builds an apartment, they have to have 15% low income you know, apartments in the unit. But he said the problem is you've got a situation where you've got wealthy people that are able to afford the high rents that are in Berkeley, which are on average $1,500, and you've got a few low-income apartments in each of those buildings. But the problem is the middle class. What is he saying? Is he saying there's enough housing for rich people and a few apartments for low-income people, but nothing for the middle class? Is that what he's basically telling me with that? And the same thing with the health care. You know, I think everybody deserves to have universal health care. I don't care how much money or how little money you've got. I think that everybody should pay into it. I think that the wealthy people should pay into the pot, just like the middle income taxpayers and poor people pay into it. But apparently there's a cutoff where wealthy folks don't pay into the you know what I'm saying. So I'm just wondering about those two points, about the housing and about the Medicare, what's going on there.
Well, okay. Medicare is managed on a national basis. What you're dealing with as far as housing is concerned is a function of state, county, and city government. So they do diverge in that sense. I mean, if I understand correctly, and you probably know better than I do, but one single factor has driven things through the roof in the Bay Area, and other folks in the Bay Area could very well chime in on this too. But that is the madness of the Google economy and the Silicon Valley economy blowing up. I mean, what was it, 2-3 years ago? There was a story of somebody paying, you know, $1,000 a month to live in somebody's backyard. It was outrageous. I don't remember exactly what the numbers were, but you know, it's a matter of demand outstripping supply, because, you know, the Bay Area is one of the most magnificent places to live in the country, and everybody wants to live there, especially if you're young and hip.
Yeah, it's extremely expensive, Bob. There was actually a story I saw where somebody actually paid somebody like maybe $500-$600 a month just to build like a little a separate room within a room, like maybe I don't know how many square feet, like just enough to have a bed and stuff, like kind of like sharing a living room, but it was like, you know, kind of divided off, and it was such a small little space. but yeah, people get desperate, and unfortunately, Larry, I think that rent control proposition is going to go down to defeat, because you know, the whole fear thing has been played up by the National Association of Realtors and homeowners associations and things like that, that this is actually going to reduce the supply of housing and make it more expensive, you know, the same shit that happens, you know. So it's probably going to go down 60-40 is my guess, Larry.
But I was reading an article in LA Progressive Times about that. Even though it's going to lose,
mm-hmm.
it's going to win, because more people are actually, more cities in California are starting to listen, and are going to be starting to, you know, enact their own issues. And they're hoping that by 2020, because they're not going to give up on Prop 10.
Yeah. Okay.
They're going to reintroduce it in the 2020 election year. Okay. Because they're getting momentum. People, you know, because the rent is too damn high. And, you know, like you said, because of the fear-mongering, you know, and you know, the national realtors, and this one huge real estate developer.
KB Homes or something like that, probably.
Something like that.
Yeah.
They're, you know, spending all this money on these ads, these attack ads.
Yeah. They're saying it's going to hurt property values as well. They're trying to get homeowners to go against it with that.
Right. Exactly.
Well, yeah. I think even if it, I think it's going to lose too. I don't know, Bob, if you know what this is about. This is about the fact that in Santa Monica and Berkeley in the 80s and 90s, there was rent control. And the landlords didn't like it. They didn't like it one bit.
Of course not.
So what they did...
It gets in the way of money.
That's right.
What they did is they decided to go to court on it, and they decided to enact a rent law that says that anything built after 1995 was going to be exempt from any kind of rent regulation. And in addition, if somebody's living in the unit and then they move out, the landlord can raise the rent to any amount that they want. And Jesus. Then that rent has to stay in that particular, at that particular level until somebody else, until that person moves out, and then they can raise the rent again. And this happens in Berkeley all the time because you've got students that I live, as you know, in a student ghetto right around the university, and students come and go all the time. So, you know, so what this law was going to do, it wasn't going to have the government come in and regulate rents. It wasn't going to ask the government to become a landlord. What it was going to do is it was going to roll it back to what it was, to what the rent law was before 1995, and allow cities and counties to enact their own, you know, on their own initiative, their own kind of rent regulation, if they decided, that they needed to do it. And that's my understanding. And I don't, and there's also another proposition on the ballot that I don't quite understand, Rick and Duncan and Tracy. I think it's Prop 5. It's about transferring property taxes or something. I don't understand.
Oh, it's for it basically allows individuals 55 or older to purchase a more expensive piece of property and transfer the property tax basis to the new property, so they can basically upsize instead of having to always downsize to keep the same property tax level.
Oh, I see.
So that's basically what it is, Larry, so that they can basically keep their property taxes at whatever level they purchased their original residence at. Mm-hmm. So that's a giveaway to wealthy seniors, let's just say. And
that's gross.
The progressive voting guide says vote against that.
And speaking of gross, before we run out of time, can I throw something in here real quick?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Do you have any election predictions in Georgia, Steve?
Let me get to this first, Rick. And I don't know if anybody else has seen this, but I've seen a commercial on the TV that's just disturbed the hell out of me. And it's about organ transplants. And it's about this organization that you can sign up for if you want to be put at the head of the line. And you know that shit is not
free.
Oh,
is that the living liver transplant thing?
Something like that, yes. That's gross. And I wonder if anybody in the Horn family knows what the bottom line is of this. It's got to be for profit.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Dick Cheney creation. He's looking for more young organs to steal.
Yeah, but you know what? After last night's conversation, I hope Dan got through to folks the fundamental decency of being an organ donor.
Mm-hmm.
I
am on my driver's license. I've got that little dot or whatever it is, you know.
But the fact is if you got enough money, you can purchase your organs. That to me is just grotesque.
It is. Yeah, it is.
And I'm not sure that's what this organization is all about. I need to dig down before I bring it up. That's why I'm throwing it out there to see if anybody else knows.
Well, maybe by next Friday you'll have an answer. So that would be.
I wonder.
I've seen the same ad, and it's Orwellian. There's this long line of people
long
standing.
Line. That's the one, Bob. That's the one.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's even legal to do that.
Well, because it's as I understand it, liver transplants can be done with a piece of liver.
Mm.
So that, you know, you don't, you know, they're not selling body parts, but I guess think of it as sort of a brokerage.
So they're going to biopsy a healthy liver and pay you for it? Or is that where you're going with this?
That's, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
you know, I'm a science fiction buff, so I've always thought it would be kind of nice to clone a spare parts me and just keep it in the fridge. But
Bob, I just wanted to say thank you, Duncan, for posting the. But I wanted to ask Steve about what he thinks about what's going to happen with Stacy. Does Stacy have a chance to win this thing down there?
Well, numbers-wise, if we were going from a tactical, just numbers purposes, absolutely. But you have to keep in mind the environment that we're in as far as, you know, who's guarding the hen house. The Secretary of State is overseeing the vote count, and he's her opponent. So to me, that's just absurd on its face.
That race is headed to court, I think, Steve.
I think so,
razor thin.
And what could also happen, Rick, and I this is a strong possibility, you got a Libertarian, he's drawn about 1 to 2% of the vote. In Georgia, you have to have 50% plus one or it comes to a runoff. Which way do most Libertarians go? I mean, figure it out for yourself. Yeah. So if it comes to a runoff, then...
She's gonna have a hard time getting above 50%. It's gonna. She might win with like 40.
She may win.
48.
She may win the battle, but he'll turn it around and win the fucking war, man. We always have sand kicked in our face, you know.
That's what pisses me off all the time.
Yep.
And I quote it all the time: is that the right comes up with one candidate, the left has two or three. We got the Libertarian Party. We got the Green Party. We got somebody else wants to stick their ass in there.
The Libertarian is usually on the right side of the spectrum, John.
Yeah, but in this case, the Libertarian candidate can still screw the pooch, without being ideologically aligned with Stacey Abrams, because the raw numbers can simply make it so that nobody, has. I mean. It could be Stacy at 50% to Libertarian with 3% and Brian Kemp with 47% and Brian Kemp still lives to fight another day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can
he will pull up a majority of those Libertarian votes, which could fuck up everything.
Well, yeah. they'll turn around and vote for the Republican.
Well, there'll be a special election
right now, don't they? 47-47?
Yeah, it's at a dead heat now. It depends on who's doing the poll, but yeah, pretty much. And she's even ahead by like.
On her.
My heart wants to.
Will there be a special election in December if it goes to runoff?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And I mean, but it's whether it's Stacy in Florida or Beto in Texas. It's the same issue, you know. You hope that the victory can be found in those people that the polling people don't ordinarily reach out to,
right?
And that becomes a matter of just getting out the damn vote.
Texas,
yeah,
Bob.
I know.
I'm seeing it down here, Bob.
Set
records.
So, John, what do you see happening in the case, the election of Poopface versus Beto?
Oh shit! I'm thinking Beto's gonna walk away with it. I really do. They have it. They still have Cruz ahead. I think by a point, 2 points maybe. But again, falling back on, I don't think they're polling the right people because, you know, just here in Nueces County, Eric Olguin went out here to the local college out here and had a recruitment drive. I mean a get out the vote drive, and I mean it was packed. And I just talked to the head of the Young Democratic Party here in Nueces County, and they're having a record turnout of young people getting out and voting. So,
well, John, we got to roll out of here, but let me ask you before we go. I mentioned it earlier, and last night I said there are two predictors of an absolute polar shift in this country. And that's if Steve King loses in Iowa and if Ted Cruz loses in Texas. Well, how's it playing in Texas that after he was outed as a fucking Nazi, Steve King, that Ted Cruz snuggled up to him and let him cry on his shoulder. I mean, really? I mean, Texans are like down for some Nazis. I mean, is that going to get him votes?
He thinks a Canadian moved down here to try to convince everybody he's a racist asshole. He is. But that's what down here. That's what some of them like. You know, you can't get away from that. That's what exactly Trump's doing in his shit right now. It's that hatred of anybody like you. And Ted Cruz tries to play in that carefully down here because we have a large Hispanic population down here. And but he's no, you know, I put him right there with Steve King, Mr. Rebel flag on his desk and all that crap. I'm glad to see that news coming out of Iowa. It's time that state woke up and take a look at the Klan member they got there, because that's all that guy is.
Yeah.
Pure and simple.
I went to see Beto O'Rourke yesterday for the last time, and I got talked to him. As a matter of fact, I told him, next time I see you, buddy, you're going to be Senator.
Awesome.
And he went right back out on the road doing it live on Facebook all the time.
Where'd you see him? Where'd you see him, John?
In Robstown, right here where I live.
Awesome.
I wasn't going to miss that. I'm in a lot of pain. I hurt my back trying to get everything done here through this flood. But I was dead determined. I drove through the water to get the hell out of here to get.
That's awesome.
Rally.
I've got a prediction. The Democrats are going to pick up 35 seats to more than ensure a majority by like 12 extra votes. And I think the Senate is going to be, I'm afraid the Republicans, I'd say it's going to be either 51 to 49 Republican or 52 to 48. I don't know.
You know, I don't have as much high hopes for the Senate as I have for the House. I do believe we're going to take the House. But if we take the House, then we can start the work. That's what this is all about. I'm reminding everybody that I talk to, this vote just gives us the ability to start the process to set our House right.
Right. Truth is truth, as opposed to truth is not truth. We're going to have investigations.
That's right.
Find out what the truth is.
That's when the fun's going to start. Ain't no telling what we're going to be talking about.
Huh?
I said, ain't no telling what we're going to be talking about in about a month or so.
Or 1 week. 1 week from today. I mean,
I'm telling you, baby. Yeah. Well, you know, we got to give them time to get seated in there.
The shitstorm is going to start once Mueller issues his report.
Yeah, that's right. And if we have a Democrat-controlled House, ain't nothing getting swept under the rug, baby.
The report is going to get released in some fashion.
In one way or another, baby.
Yeah.
That's right. I am pumped. I'm hopeful. I'm energetic about this shit, and I hope everybody is.
Well, John, I wish I shared your enthusiasm, but here in Georgia, I've had sand kicked in my face so many times. You get jaded, buddy, after a while.
I fully understand. I live in Texas, buddy. How do you, you know, we just elected a dumbass into my congressman down here who don't know what the hell he's doing. He's doing nothing but hiding from everybody and hoping this red wave or whatever keeps him in office. I don't think so.
I would love Stacey to taste this thing.
I've never been more confident about anything than I am about Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, Steve, Rick.
I'm even going to drink some Bud while I'm watching the Georgia governor results come in.
I'm going to try to go live and do a live show.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, we haven't really
live show on Tuesday.
We haven't really talked about the plans here. I mean, I assume, you know, because you know the program ends at 9 Eastern. We're not going to know much of anything at that point in time. That's the other thing that people need to be prepared for. These are going to be results that are rolling into the wee hours of the morning. And like the mess that you just described, the potential mess in Georgia, don't be surprised if all over the country Republicans aren't contesting. I mean, they could get their asses beaten from here to hell and back, and they'll still file some sort of legal challenge. The game now, if they lose in either house, the game is going to be to try to tie things up so that they don't have to surrender power in January.
And, Bob, there's going to be foul weather, I mean violent weather, predicted for Tuesday, which could throw another component into everything.
Jesus.
Power outages, knocked out the machines, blah, 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 blah. Look at the weather forecast. They were warning about it today.
Oh shit! Is it a, is it another hurricane?
No, no, it's not. It's a front. It's coming from. It's moving from west to east. But on Tuesday, it'll be right on top of the Chicago area, and it extends all the way from Chicago all the way to the southeast. And the radiant bars on the weather forecast are so tight that they're expecting very high winds, which plays havoc on the grid.
Oh, beautiful. A derecho.
Yeah.
I think we're paying attention to the same front. I think they said it's going to get down into the high 40s or something.
Yeah.
That's what we need, right?
Yep. So, there's another component in that we got, you know.
Well, guys, we got to, gang, we got to knock off.
Thanks, you got to get out of here, not us.
Well, I got to. I got a program to upload. But yeah, y'all stick around and chat if you want. But I want to thank everybody for another fantastic Friday conversation. Thank you, one and all, and thanks, Rick, for getting us started with the tax return challenge. We've knocked down everything but $25 to finish fundraising for the first 2 days in November. Thank you very kindly. And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in the program. Thank you to those of you who keep the program going. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve and to Sparky. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks very kindly to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later, y'all.